much about. You gotta put it in perspective. You ready? This is take one. And one, and two, and away we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a f***ing up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. It's a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his f***ing brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up-tempo, and I got to talk about a f***ing dog dying.
And now, my point is, come on, our feature presentation.
This guy's got a point, by the way. You don't want to come out of an up-tempo song and then do a dog dedication.
I don't. I know I don't.
I love that.
Is Don on the phone?
It's my favorite.
I'll just start using that.
Is Don on the phone? Meaning, does he think Don is just holding full time, like while he does the whole thing? Right. He didn't say get Don on the phone.
Right. In case you need something, Don better be there.
He's
God damn it.
On the phone for the whole recording session.
Morning, everybody. Hey, it's a brand new Kevin O'Bean show. It's Wednesday, the 6th of November.
I thought this was an interesting story. You know, you can never tell what's going on in somebody's life. You may look at somebody and go, that's a person that has it all together. That's a person that has everything. That's a person whose life I envy. But you never really know what it's like for that person.
Right.
How many times have we talked about, you see a couple split up and she's an unbelievably hot supermodel. And you go, why? How could anyone lose? You don't know what it's like being right with that person, right? Well, here's a story about an NFL player, which, let's face it, is the dream of many young men around the world, to be in the NFL. A guy who's a guard for the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
It doesn't get much better than playing for the Broncos this season, by the way. They're 7-1. He's making $700,000 a year. He's 27 years old. He's healthy. John Moffitt called during the bye week this week that the Broncos are on and said, I'm not coming back. I'm not feeling it.
What?
He's walking away from football. He gave an interview to the Associated Press yesterday, and he said lots of his teammates and fans don't understand how he could walk away from professional football with the fame and the fortune. He said, I just really thought about it, and I decided I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all. I think it's really madness to risk your body and risk your well-being and risk your happiness for money. Everybody says, and by the way, he's had no health problems. He's never had a concussion or anything like that. It's not like a guy who's gotten beaten up a lot.
No knee surgeries or any of that?
Yeah, nothing like that. Huh. Right. 27, healthy. Everyone doesn't get it. They think it's crazy. But I think what I was doing is crazy. I don't care about the Super Bowl. I don't. I used to. I mean, anytime I played this game, I gave my heart to it, and I'm a person that does things with his heart. I don't need the Super Bowl experience. I've played in great stadiums. I've played against great players. I've had that experience, and now it's enough. So he's walking away. He says, I've saved enough. It's not like I'm sitting here and I'm a millionaire. That's what I kind of realized. I'm sitting here and I got to this point and I was like, what's the number that you need? How much do you really need? What do you want in life? And I decided I just don't need to be a millionaire. I just want to be happy. And I have found that the people that have the least in life are sometimes the happiest. And although I don't have the least in life, I have enough and I won't sacrifice my health for that.
Beep. Cut to next week. I'm back. I spent a lot of money this week and I need some more.
I admire that. I mean, I'm sure he's seeing how these older players break down and the brain damage that they're discovering and all of that. And he's so lucky he hasn't been hurt.
You know what's really weird?
And he must not be loving it anymore.
If you're playing professional football, that has to have been a major part of your entire life, playing football.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he played in high school, played in college, loved it. And he's been in the league for 2.5 years.
So loved it. So
right, loved it.
Does it make
passionate.
Sense that he was passionate about it for so long, and then all of a sudden just somebody flipped a switch and he's like, you know what? I'm out. That's weird.
Apparently.
Well, I think that's why it's so unusual, is because very rarely do people make that kind of transition.
And
usually people are forced into a transition.
And this is a year that he really could viably be in the Super Bowl. It's not like
Absolutely.
He's getting destroyed. It's not like he's on the Giants or something.
Right. I mean, that's what's weird, is forget the fame and fortune of being just an NFL player on any team and everything that's associated with that. I mean, you're living pretty good, although you're working very hard. anyone who's into sports, you want to win a championship,
right?
And how do you walk? I mean, if you stick with the Broncos and they win the Super Bowl, which as Kevin mentioned, they're as likely as any team in the league to do. For the rest of your life, you're a Super Bowl champion, and that changes your life for the better, right?
Yeah. Now I hope they win.
He says, by the way, just briefly, he majored in sociology at Wisconsin, and he said his worldview was really shaped over the past couple of years when he began studying the writings of the Dalai Lama and Noam Chomsky.
Me too!
He also is looking forward to going on a diet now that he does not have to maintain his 319-pound physique. He says, I'd like to grow my own food for a while, lose a ton of weight, and feel great, and spend time with the people that I love, and just be happy. So there you go. It's an unusual story. You look at these people, you know, playing football on the weekend, and you go, wow, that's the life. Not for John Moffitt.
320 pounds?
He quit football. That's my thing.
That's nuts.
We should have a pool to how soon it's going to be before he comes back.
And will they let him come back?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
It's interesting to hear your process.
Thank you. We have Bean wants to buy some Twitter shares in the IPO.
Oh, right.
Bean is looking to get rich. Right. He thinks that this is his
chance.
Well,
he's missed some
this
big opportunities.
Chance to score.
I look around and I see a product that virtually everyone I know uses and loves. How could that go wrong?
I like your optimism, but all can go wrong. We also have somebody to tell us about Call of Duty, which is coming out. I think came out yesterday or the day before.
That's right, sure did.
Saoirse Ronan is in the studio. Took us a long time to figure out how to say her name because it's spelled Saoirse. Hmm. That's not exactly normal, but How I Live Now is the name of the movie that she's in.
She's an unbelievable actress, by the way, this Saoirse Ronan. I mean, it's crazy. You know, she was Hannah. We had her on when she was Hannah. She was the Lovely Bones. I mean, she's just been in so – she was nominated for an Oscar when she was 13, you guys.
Yeah.
In Atonement. That's the level – if she comes in today and says she's walking away from acting because she doesn't feel it.
She wants to play guard for the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Aisha Tyler will be talking about her show, mm-hmm. who Bean loves a little too much, if you ask me. Muggs is going to have to try and figure out how to pay back the $1,000 that he owes. That's going to be fun because he's a
bad... I bet Muggs did nothing but think about that yesterday, right, Muggs?
Yep.
It's a bad sports gambler. And we've got your tickets for the Hunger Games. A preview of that before everybody else gets to see it. The Hunger Games Catching Fire is awesome. The name of it. And we've got your chance to win that coming up in about 20 minutes. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to Pearl Jam on the world famous K-Rock. It is 5:52.
I like that album very much, Kevin. I know you've kind of lost the thread of Pearl Jam in the last few albums.
I like that song.
I think they're back strong, man. I love this lightning bolt. You ought to check it out if you get the chance. Ladies and gentlemen, back from a long weekend in his hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, our friend Ralph Garman rejoins us here on the
Thank Thursday. You so much, boys
good morning,
and girls.
Ralph.
Good
we
morning.
So missed you.
No,
like
you
we
didn't.
Do.
Nah.
No, we did.
Nah.
Yeah, we did.
I got to tell you, as great as Brad Williams is, and we all love little Brad, it's nice to see a full-size human sitting in that chair this morning.
Well, I got big shoes to fill, especially if you're Brad Williams. Because, see, I've got bigger feet.
Right.
Because
right.
he's little.
Because he's a small person.
He's not large.
Right.
He fell off the chair trying to get in it.
That did happen once.
Although, Ralph, we...
You need a net.
We did.
You put a net around the chair to catch him like this. Fireman nets that people jump out of buildings with.
We did do Lech Lisa yesterday, and it was a little bit awkward because you remember the rules of Lech Lisa, what you're not allowed to do, and that's all really
Where's
Brad
that? Where
could
else
do.
Is he supposed to lick her?
That was difficult.
Right.
What? Knees? What's he got?
Right.
He's got no options.
Nope.
Poor kid.
One and a listener had the line of the day. He said, hey, Brad, how does her hair smell?
Zing! All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news as we kick off the showbiz beat this morning. Miley Cyrus has a new tattoo, everybody. Her 18th.
All right.
Her 18th. All
right.
And how old is she, 19?
Yes. She unveiled it on Twitter this week. She got it from Kat Von D., who's already done three other tattoos for Miley. It is a black and white portrait on her lower arm of her grandmother.
Okay.
Yeah, she said she picked her grandmother because I am her favorite and she is mine. She said.
Are there any other grandkids that would care to respond to that?
Got a brother.
I'm her favorite and she's mine.
Yeah. I feel bad because this dooms the relationship. You know her and her grandmother are going to split up now.
Yeah.
Because anytime that's you get somebody on your body when you tattoo them. It ends the relationship.
That is the rule.
So I'm guessing Granny's going to die. Or they'll split up. One or the other. Here's some good news. Amanda Bynes apparently getting better every day. Word is she's going to be released from rehab soon and into her mother's care next month. Should be home by Christmas, they say.
Good.
Word is she's doing well with medication and therapy. Doctors are concerned now that she's going a little stir crazy in rehab, so they think the next stage for her well-being would be to get her out of the hospital and home with her family and get her back into the outside world. That's the next step. So
that can't be enjoyable to be, you know, in a situation where there are a lot of people that are mentally just crazy.
I would hazard a guess to say most patients would probably be better served and not surrounded by other lunatics. Because as difficult as it is to recover, imagine when you're also getting that influx of weird energy from all those people 24 hours a day when you're in a facility like that.
Yep.
It must double things.
Hey, I saw it was what it was like for Carrie on Homeland when they put her away. That was a
movie. Hey, do you have any references that aren't on a TV show?
Not anymore.
Do you have any? I knew a guy, I met a girl, anything.
Like the Denver Broncos guy, he's walked away from the human race. He's decided, I don't really need that anymore. All my friends now live on the television, and that's all. That's all I need. Just the television people.
Every reference Bean has is a TV show.
I know a lot more people than you guys do. Yeah. All of mine are imaginary,
all
but
your
I know
channels.
Them.
Sure. While we're talking about television, History Channel has announced they are remaking the classic miniseries Roots, based on the Alex Haley book. The 1977 miniseries was groundbreaking. It was the story of a family of African Americans all the way from Africa through the slave years and then beyond, based on the life of Alex Haley's family. It was a big deal. Got 37 Emmy nominations the year it was nominated.
Wow.
Yeah. Winning 9. Including Best Supporting Actor and Best Music. Quincy Jones did the soundtrack. It still holds the record for the third highest rated TV show ever. More than 36 million people watched its finale.
Wow.
And yet History Channel thinks they can do a better job. So, I don't know. It's a tall order.
What'd you say, 77?
77, yeah.
A lot of people probably haven't seen it. That's cool.
That's probably true. Then just rerun it.
All right,
it's pretty good. It stands the test of time. Roots does. So, I don't know. Should be interesting. Glee's getting a makeover. Ryan Murphy, creator of that show, says he's creating a spin-off show for Lea Michele.
Okay.
She's going to get her own show. That's nice. Now I can not watch that, too. And now they're talking to my people. CW has announced yet another superhero show on their network. Arrow, of course, is a big hit for them. They are adding The Flash once he gets introduced on Arrow. Later this season, he's going to get his own series. Now it's Our Man. Finally, Our Man is getting his own show.
Our Man.
Our Man. Now, it's not the Our Man I know and love.
What is any Our Man?
Our Man was Rex Tyler, who could take a pill. He would take, you know, he would take Miraclo.
Okay.
The pill that would give him superpowers for an hour.
Really? So they just named how long he has the power? That's his name?
Well, he's superhero for an hour. He's Our Man.
What power?
61 minutes.
Anything he wants?
F'd up. He's a super strength and agility and vision and everything.
So basically everything.
Everything, except flight. He didn't fly. But he was a powerhouse for 60 minutes.
Why 60 minutes? Why couldn't they make the pill last longer?
Because, Bean, the side effects were just too dangerous. It's all his body could take.
We should have guessed.
You learn something.
Open up a book. The hour's coming.
He's not on the phone. He's not on the phone. God damn it. I'm tired of doing a comic book story and having these people not know what I'm talking about.
Open up a blog.
However, the CW apparently is changing his superpower a little bit. Our Man will now, I kid you not, this is according to their press release, be able to see an hour into the future.
Oh, so they're changing it entirely.
Yeah. And so Our Man will now try to stop crimes before they happen because he sees things an hour into the future.
Person of interest?
Yeah. How dare you think that would have anything to do with why they would change Our Man's powers, maybe.
Our Man.
That's got to be
you
the
have
lamest.
To admit. That's
Our
weak,
Man,
right?
Rock.
That has
that's
to be the lamest. Weak.
They can't
cool
all out with a cloak on his head, and he used to wear what do you call those things? Hourglass around his neck.
Really?
Cool look. Cool look.
Stole that from Flava Flav.
Our Man.
That's dumb.
Then?
That's stupid, and dumb, and absurd.
Absurd.
They should have Party Bus Man. They're a good superhero.
I would watch Party Bus Man.
Buzz Crown in a Party Bus full of weapons.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Emma Stone. Emma Stone is 25 years old today.
She's awesome.
Former NBA player Lamar Odom is 34. Taryn Manning celebrates her 35th birthday. Rebecca Romijn is 41. Thandi Newton is also 41 today. Ethan Hawke turns 43. Actress Kelly Rutherford is 45 years old.
Oh, I don't know her. Is she Belle Ralph? I don't know Kelly
Rutherford. Yeah. She's Belly.
Belly?
She's Belly. Maria Shriver.
Yep.
Former First Lady of California. 58 years old today. Singer Glenn Frey is 65. And actress Sally Field, most recently, I guess, seen as a Mary Todd Lincoln in the very successful film Lincoln. She is 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We have a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. We're going to play it next. So if you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets after this.
All week long, we've been giving you tickets to the advanced KROQ screening of The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. Opens everywhere on the 22nd. You get to see it on the 18th at the AMC Burbank 16. This is one of the most anticipated movies of 2013. Now, DJ Omar Khan, who generally does the intro stuff for us on these games that we play, the little songs we sing.
Right. DJ Omar Khan.
He's on vacation this week. So how did we make the decision to hand the reins of this production piece to Beer Mug?
Woo-hoo! I'm not positive. I think he may have suggested it himself. I'll do it. And then, for some reason, we didn't shout him down.
So, Muggs, what's your prediction on how we're gonna like this intro as we prepare to give away these tickets?
110%.
All right, what's this game called, Muggs?
Shoot them bows.
If you're into Hunger Games, then you probably know that this cat and his chick is one tasty hoe. And when she steps in the arena, what she reaches for is a trusty bow and arrow.
It shoots them bows.
Not for the Kevin and not for the Bean. Just for the Mockingjays down with the scene.
I hope this cat and his chick is wearing skimpy clothes.
It's time to ask for famous archers.
To shoot them bows.
Not bad. All right, we're going to go to the phones at 1-800-5-2.
Shoot them bows.
1-800-520-1067 is the number.
Shoot them bows.
All right. Somewhere ludicrous is about to pull a weapon. I got to give it up to Muggs.
Yeah!
That was really, really impressive, Muggs. I got to thank you for that.
Nicely done. All right. So basically, these are people who use – these are archers, famous archers.
Okay.
But we couldn't think of a theme song for famous archers. All right. Let's start with Ascension. Am I saying that? Am I saying that right?
Yes. Good morning.
All right.
Morning.
Hi.
All right. Welcome to Shoot Them Bows. Here's question number one.
Shoot Them Bows.
Making his first appearance way back in the 1960s for Marvel Comics, this bow and arrow master's real name is Clint Barton. But with the Avengers, he goes by what name?
Hawkeye.
Yeah, Hawkeye.
Nicely done.
Job.
All right, you guys.
Shoot Them Bows.
Let's go to Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
All right, Jason, this Walking Dead TV character is played by actor Norman Reedus. He's one of only five members of the original Atlanta group who continues to survive. While others tend to kill zombies with swords or with guns, he uses a crossbow. What's his name?
Daryl.
Close enough. Yeah, we were looking for Daryl or Daryl Dixon. Well done. You're going to see Hunger Games.
All right, let's go to Jessica. Hi.
Hi.
All right, Jessica, this Swiss archer from literature is first mentioned way back in the 15th century, best known for being forced to shoot an apple off his own son's head, which he did, and the arrow split the apple in two. What's his name?
Let's see. I don't know. Robin Hood?
I'm sorry. We were looking for William Tell. William Tell was the answer. Thanks for playing.
Shoot them bows.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Toby. Hi.
Hey.
All right, Toby, this comic book archer goes all the way back to 1941. He sometimes dresses like Robin Hood, but his civilian identity is Oliver Queen. He's a billionaire businessman living in Star City and a member of the Justice League. What's his name?
Oof, do not know.
For reals?
It was a lot easier than William Tell.
We were looking for the Green Arrow this time around. He's got the TV show on the CW called Arrow, in fact. Thanks for playing, though.
All right, let's go to Katie. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to
Shoot Them Bows.
All right, Katie, you're playing for Hunger Games Catching Fire tickets. This Scottish girl with a bow and arrow joins Snow White, Cinderella, Ariel, and others in a long line of Disney movie princesses. She was the star of last year's movie Brave that won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature Film. What's her name?
Princess Merida.
Yes.
Wow.
Look at that. We were afraid of that one. Yeah. We wouldn't get an answer. Nicely done.
By the way, that movie made over $500 million worldwide. You guys know
really?
That
big? No.
One of, a huge, huge movie for Pixar. All right, who's keeping track? How many have we given away here so far?
Giving away three.
All right.
So we have two more. Let's go to Gordon. Hi.
How are you doing?
Very good.
All right, Gordon, from mythology, this famous archer is also known as the god of love or desire or attraction or affection. He's usually portrayed as a young boy shooting an arrow into people's hearts to make them fall in love, and you see him on a lot of Valentine's Day cards.
Cupid.
Yeah.
Nicely done. All right. I feel bad for the girl who got William Tell.
William Tell is not a difficult archer, by the way. Who hasn't heard the story of William Tell?
Right, but it is compared to the rest of them. Ryan, hi.
Oh, why couldn't you guys give me that last question?
Sorry.
This character from the Lord of the Rings books is an elf who was part of the Fellowship of the Ring in the Third Age, whatever the heck that means. In the movies, he's played by famous girly man Orlando Bloom. Who is he?
Lost it.
We were looking for Legolas. Legolas is who Orlando Bloom plays in Lord of the Rings.
He's Legolas?
Legolas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, nice try. Still looking for one more.
We have one pair left, and Joey's on the phone. Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Joey, this famous character from the video game Tomb Raider usually uses her two pistols to get the job done, but often she breaks out the bow and arrow, too. And just like happens all the time in real life, she's an archaeologist who's also incredibly young, beautiful, and busty. She was played by Angelina Jolie in the 2001 movie Tomb Raider.
Who is Lara Croft?
Correct, sir.
And he posed it as a question.
I think that's five people going to see The Hunger Games Catching Fire. Thanks a lot for playing Shoot Them Bows.
Shoot Them Bows.
I was giving some thought to Mug's problem last night, Kevin. I think I've got it.
Yeah.
The answer, the way he gets out of this $1,000 hole that he's in with his betting on football,
right,
is he starts betting on basketball.
Oh, good.
Because there's so many more games.
That's true.
They're playing every night of the week in basketball. Mugs, you could make that $1,000 back in a few nights if you really hit it.
You know, it's funny. I've actually done pretty well in basketball.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Oh, my God.
Now, Mugs was in the hole $800 before this past weekend and tried a three-game parlay, which means all three have to come in or he loses.
That's easy, right? In
yeah,
football?
Yeah, always. And so that was going to get him out of the hole.
Uh-huh.
And then that didn't happen because Chicago won the Monday Night Football game. So now Muggs is $1,000 in the hole. Now, I don't know how much you know about Muggs, but probably you don't know much about his finances. He can pay $1,000 as much as I could pay $3 billion. He's got like 10 bucks in his checking account.
Muggs, that's how he got into the habit of eating all the food off everyone else's plates,
right,
is because he was poor. I think Muggs is working for, he's got one of those jobs where he works for less than minimum wage, but we do tip him. So I think that's the only thing that he's getting by on.
And food.
Yes. But the bad news about betting is that you actually do owe the money, Beer Mug. And I know that you like to say, oh, they'll let me slide. Oh, they're nice guys. It's, you know, I've got plenty of time to make it back. It's fine. I have bad news for you. That is that we just got a phone call in the office that we asked Dave to transfer. And I believe your bookie is on the phone. I think Vinny Knuckles joins us now on the Kevin DeVito show on K-Rock.
Hello.
Mr. Knuckles?
Yeah, I'm looking for Beer Mug, please.
Yeah, he's here.
Right here.
Hey, Vinny.
Hey, Beer Mug, where you been?
I'm getting the money together, you know.
You're getting the money together?
Yeah, it's going to take maybe a little over
a
week.
You know, when the game's over, that's usually when I need to be paid.
Is that how it's gone in the past, Muggs?
What was the game you bet on? What night was that?
That was Sunday and Monday night.
Sunday and Monday.
Yeah.
And today is, hold on, let me check the calendar for a second.
Yeah.
Today is Wednesday!
That's true. It is Wednesday.
I've been looking for you.
Oh, no.
You know how many Del Tacos there are between your house and where you work? 108, my friend. I looked at every single one of those. You're no place to be found. I leave you messages. I get nothing back. You know what this is?
That's
time ticking away, Mug.
No. Have you gotten messages, Mugs? You just ignored them?
I think Vinny called me like twice.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Let me tell you something.
How much does he have? Can he cut some kind of a deal where he sort of makes it up through time, like he pays $50 a week for a long time or something?
What am I, Kmart? What is this, layaway?
I don't know.
First of all, who the hell are you? Who are you? I'm talking to Beer Mug. Who are you?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to butt in there.
Which one are you? Are you Ellen Kay?
Yeah. I'm Ryan.
Ryan.
Yeah.
I love that roses bit you do, by the way. Very funny.
Yeah, that's completely fake.
What?
It is. It
I
is.
I tell you, you can't trust nobody.
That's
no
right.
More.
That's true.
I let this fat slob go stick me for $1,000, and now I find out your roses bits are fake.
Now, I have to ask, just because you are called Vinny Knuckles, how do you extract the money out of the people that bet with you, Vinny, if they don't pay back? I assume it's with flesh, right?
There's a sliding scale.
Okay.
Okay.
For anything under a $500 tab, for $100, I take a digit.
Oh.
What?
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, a thumb, a forefinger. You know, I leave the index finger usually so people can still use the phone.
That's nice.
So they can call me to tell me when I'm getting my money.
All right. So that's
for under $500. Like this mook,
yeah.
He pays me, it needs me $1,000. It goes in $500 chunks. Usually $500 per knee.
Per knee.
Per yeah. knee. Okay.
So let's see. The tune of $1,000 divided by 500. I take both your knees.
Now, what if he's able only to come up with 500, but he does pay you 500? Will that let you give him a little more time to get the next 500?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay,
as long
good.
As he pays. No!
Okay.
He doesn't owe me $500. He owes me $1,000.
Right, but I don't think. Do you have that, Muggs? Do you have $1,000?
Tick-tock. Tick-tock.
Vinny, will you take...
It's also the sound of a baseball bat I got with a six-penny nail sticking out of it. I'm tapping it on my desktop.
Oh, this is not
no.
good. This is not good.
How long, Muggs?
I'm going to take this baseball bat, and I'm going to hit you in the ass with it. Well, no, you wouldn't feel that. I'm going to find some place in your body that isn't covered with just mounds of lard, and I'm going to smack you so hard. And by the way, tell your mother she still owes me for the Dodgers.
Oh, what? I thought she paid that.
Well, she didn't pay with money, if you know what I'm saying.
Hey, comedian and actress Aisha Tyler is going to be joining us in about a half an hour or so here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And then actress Saoirse Ronan is going to... Damn it.
Saoirse.
We were doing so well up until this point today.
You guys, you can't ever say names correctly, and it really bugs me.
I bet it does, Kevin. Along with her director of the outstanding new film called How I Live Now, Kevin McDonald is going to be joining her. That's next hour right here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
All right. So if we were going to do How Does the Story End, the beginning of the story would be two planes collide with, I guess, both planes are parachute planes. So they've got people inside of the planes, and they're going to jump out. But they hit in midair. What would your answer be as to how that ends?
So small planes collide 12,000 feet above the ground.
Yep.
I assume fireball and lots of charred remains float down to Earth. That'd be my guess.
All alive and well. Everybody's
That's
fine.
Unbelievable.
Everybody's fine.
That's a miracle.
How did
That's
this
a
happen?
Miracle.
It is.
It's
so if they weren't skydiving planes, everybody in there wouldn't have had a parachute on. But if they weren't skydiving planes, they probably wouldn't have been trying to fly so close together, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that exactly why they were flying that close, but the plane that was behind apparently just ran right into the plane in front, and the wing bent and tore off, and there were people already out
ready
of the plane
jump?
Getting ready to jump. And it's unbelievable video. Just tweeted it out if you want to watch it from NBC News. And then Matt Lauer had all of the people in, and he's doing the play-by-play as they're watching the video.
All right, let's begin this half hour with that incredible story of survival we've been following after two planes collided midair. The skydivers are with us live, but first, the chilling video of the crash. Some of the skydivers take their positions outside the trailing plane for their final jump of the day when disaster strikes. The two Cessnas collide in midair. Some of the jumpers literally slammed between the two planes. The wing of the lead plane bends around one of the jumpers.
So there's a guy that's outside kind of standing on some kind of a bar or something so that he can jump.
Yeah.
And the wing breaks off the plane and sort of traps him between both.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Being trapped between two airplanes in midair.
And just, you're outside. You're not in a plane. You're outside in the air.
What a nightmare.
And then breaks off. You can see other jumpers getting sucked out into a free fall at 120 miles per hour, 12,000 feet in the air. One jumper literally turning his head to see a massive fireball engulf one of the planes.
That was cool because they had one of those GoPros on their helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around to look at what the F just happened. And he's looking up, and one of the planes is just a fireball.
Okay, fireball does not mean survival.
Right.
Fireball means
That's why this
death.
Story is insane, that everybody, including the pilots, got down on the ground safely.
Flaming debris flying through the air around them. Another parachutist watches as the remaining piece of the plane breaks up. Somehow, the pilot of that plane manages to escape and jump out. In these videos, licensed by NBC News, the divers race to deploy their chutes, not knowing if their friends have survived.
So each one, you know, is sort of on their own. They didn't expect it. They aren't going together. They just jump out and do the best they can to stay alive.
Oh, my God.
You pull your chute, but you don't know. Maybe you're the only one that makes it. Maybe.
Can you imagine if that were the case?
Oh, my God. That'd be so much worse. But then the story continues.
The first jumper to land starts counting the number of parachutes he can see to count the crash's survivors.
How many parachutes do you have?
One, two, we're good.
We're good?
There's like nine of them, and the guy goes, one, two, we're good. And maybe they're the two people he liked. I don't
that's
know.
That's all I expected, two. No.
By the way, there's never been a crash that's been more documented than this one because everyone has a camera on themselves and on the planes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. You can see pretty much everything that's going on.
We got everybody.
Then they reunite on the ground.
Hey, tell them to wait for me.
Now, I like this because they just escaped death. They just, nine of them escaped two planes colliding in the air, and they're leaving this girl behind because they're running to find other people. She's like, hey, hey, what about me?
Hey, by the way, hey.
This does kind of make the Amazing Race look weenie. Well, this is the type of challenge they ought to have on that show.
I don't know that it was a challenge, and I'm not sure anybody would want to try it again, because what are the chances? You have to ask yourself, what are the chances for a lot of these stories? And it's infinitesimal that they would all be alive.
Racing to find the others, all nine jumpers and two pilots safe on the ground. An ending that just moments before seemed totally impossible.
All right, so now they've got the nine people in the studio on the Today Show, and he asked some questions. And maybe they're still shocked, I don't know, but they don't exactly bring the color commentary.
Oh, really?
Every one of the nine skydivers managed to walk away alive. Raise your hand if you're happy to be alive.
Great question, first of all. Raise your hand if you're happy to be alive.
And one guy doesn't raise his hand.
One guy's like, I had a big insurance policy. My wife was hoping to cash in.
I mean, it's incredible. Dan, you're on the perch. You had already gotten out of the plane. And what you said to me yesterday, you know what happened to me? I got hit by a moving plane. You actually got wedged between these two planes.
All right. So this is the guy who was outside that got trapped because the plane's wing broke. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah. It was unpleasant.
It was unpleasant.
Really?
Really? It was unpleasant?
Thanks for bringing that to life.
That's the best you could do?
Matt, it was not the funnest experience I ever had in my life.
I've had better times. It wasn't terrible, but it was unpleasant.
What did it feel like? And what? How much time did you have to react?
I had no time to react. All I heard was Trish scream horrifically, and I just had enough time to look over my shoulder and see white, which wasn't right. And
by the way, racist.
And get pinned.
Right. Let's not forget there are spinning propellers here. And you heard those propellers close to you.
The sound behind me, I'll never forget. And that's all I could do is try and stay forward and try not to move because I know I was going to live where I was or thought I could.
That is you right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is you getting knocked off the plane, trying to hang on, thinking you might get cut in half.
Yeah, it was unpleasant.
By one of those propellers. Sarah, you were out on that perch as well.
I was.
From your vantage point, what did you see?
I love Sarah, too. Listen to her answer.
I thought it was a joke.
What?
Wait, what part of this seems like an elaborate practical joke, Sarah?
You know, it was one of those jokes where they crash planes in midair.
I kept looking around for Ashton Kutcher. I thought, this is crazy.
I thought it was a joke.
So you got that girl, then you got...
It was unpleasant.
It was unpleasant, so you got those people. Anyway, the video we tweeted out, and you can check it out. It is one of the most unbelievable things you'll see. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Because you want to know Ralph Garman, and because you've been away for a couple of days from the Showbiz Beat, I have to tell you that one day Beer Mug did nothing but eat Cronuts all day. While you were gone. Yesterday was ice cream sandwich day. Mm. I don't know how many of those he had, but we could not keep him in the studio because there were free ice cream sandwiches somewhere in the building. It's unbelievable. I think he has a serious addiction problem.
You know how we fixed that? Kill? Fire. Fire.
Oh.
Fire Beer Mug. He needs more time to eat, I think. It would be the humane thing to do is release him and let him just graze freely. Beer Mug Lake.
put him down.
Whatever it takes.
This job is getting in the way of his ability to eat more.
Yeah, it's cruel of you guys to make him work.
We probably don't have time here, but sometime later today, remind us to play the follow-up to Chinese Food.
Oh, the prequel. Actually, it's a prequel.
Oh, it is a prequel. Okay, yeah, you've heard it?
Oh, sure. Oh. Yeah, yeah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah, so good.
It's good stuff.
All right, time for Ralph Show Business.
Art Music Factory does good stuff.
They really do.
Yeah. This past weekend, very successful couple shows in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with Hollywood Babylon. A lot of people listening to Kevin and Bean on the internets, by the way. So I want to say hi to those folks. This weekend, we're taking the show down to Brea, California at the Improv there in Brea. It's happening Saturday night, November the 9th. The show will be at 9 p.m. this Saturday in Brea, California. If you'd like to come out and see me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon, we'd love to see you. Simply go to improv.com and then click on the Brea Club, or you can go to babbleonralph.com for more details and to get your tickets. But come on out and see us. We have a good time.
So you've seen that show, right?
It is unpleasant.
Okay. Yeah, well, right. For him. Just angry because I was picking on him in a drunken stupor. Some say things on the set of The Blacklist aren't all hunky-dory. National Enquirer's got a story saying that Spader stays in character all the time as Reddington.
Uh-oh. That's unpleasant.
And is often a bit of a bully to his co-star Megan Boone, the lovely and talented Megan Boone.
That is unpleasant.
Yeah, she's something.
She's spectacular.
And he better not treat her poorly.
Some insiders on the set saying it's like being around a real psychopath all day long while you're working. Which I say, whatever. Whatever it takes.
Right.
Just keep bringing me that show.
God, I love that
damn
show.
I love that show.
I do too.
So sweet. Sweet show.
Dave the King of Mexico, though, we do have to slow down on the cast members that are coming in.
Yes,
we're
too many
about
of them.
It too much.
Jeez. Spader and Megan have just been on the... Every other day, it seems like they've been on the show.
Can't get them off the phone.
Too much. Speaking of TV news, good news for comic book geeks. CW, which is quickly becoming the comic book network. First of all, they had Smallville for all those years. Then they brought us Arrow. And they said they're going to bring us The Flash in the fall. They just added another superhero show to the works. Hourman! Oh, Hourman. It's about time Hourman got his own show.
That is a terrible superhero name.
Character first appeared in 1940. However, it's not your traditional Hourman, which kind of disappoints me. Of course, Hourman was the superhero who would take the pill Miraclo and then have superpowers for an hour, and he could fight crime for an hour.
Right.
But this hour, man.
Hate to see that idea jettisoned.
Me too, because how many pill-popping superheroes are left anymore? They won't let you show a guy pop a pill and become super anymore. Ooh, it makes kids take drugs. Whatever, he's cool.
How'd they change it?
This hour, man, apparently can see an hour into the future. So he tries to stop crimes before they happen because he can see an hour into the future.
Here's what I know about the CW.
If you get murdered 61 minutes from now, you're effed.
You're in trouble. Here's what I know about the CW is that it's going to be supermodel cast.
They will all be a trek. Of course. That's for sure. There are no ugly people in their world.
Every show's a model, guy and girl.
Now, I wonder if he has... you haven't seen this new show yet because they haven't debuted yet, Ralph, but no. I'm wondering how they're going to do that on TV. Like, will he have to stop and think every step along the way when he wants to look an hour in advance, or does he have something like Google Glasses on where he's always looking 1 hour in the future?
Google Glasses.
Google Glasses is the answer to that. Google Glasses.
And does he see 1 hour of the all over the world or just where he is?
What's happening right now?
I'm guessing it comes in flashes. I would assume he gets a premonition or something, and it strikes him that something bad's going to happen in an hour. Then he's got an hour to try to stop it.
Open up a blog.
That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
I sure wish
the hour's coming.
Wish he was popping Miraclo, though. Awesome.
Have you seen Tomorrow People?
Yes.
Pretty strong.
That is a good show.
Not bad.
Also, insanely attractive people populating that world.
That's all it is on the CW.
Speaking of superheroes, another Wolverine movie in the works. Hugh Jackman has signed on to do yet another Wolverine solo movie. The first one was the second highest grossing movie in the entire X-Men franchise.
Wow.
So they're bringing Wolvie back for another shot. Meanwhile, he will be in this summer's X-Men's Days of Future Past. So he's getting a lot of work with those claws. I think Hugh Jackman is happy at the same time. I gotta go back in the gym again for another 9 months till I look like that again.
Can't I get one of those roles where I have to gain 50 pounds?
Right, yes. Why can't I bear a beer mug in a movie? That's what he's thinking. No, he's gotta work it out. Jon Favreau's just been tapped by Disney to direct their upcoming live version of The Jungle Book. This has been attempted before. The original, of course, was the classic cartoon done back in the 60s, the musical version that is beloved by many. This will be the live-action film about the young boy Mowgli, who is raised by animals in the Indian jungle and befriends a bear and a panther and is hunted by a vicious tiger.
He knows what he's doing. He did the original Iron Man, right?
Yes, he did.
He knows what he's doing.
He's a great director.
Yeah. I mean, he knows a lot about special effects, so I'm guessing you'll see a lot of Life of Pi style animation with the animals interacting with a live human boy.
I'm in.
I just hope they sing and dance. That was my favorite part of that.
Mm. Yeah. But I get a little
bear necessity, simple bear necessity. Wouldn't it be great if you saw a real bear dancing around singing like that? That'd be awesome. I'd never stop watching that.
That would be pretty good.
Oh, cute corner. You put him in the cute corner. And Arctic Monkey fans will be happy to know they're hitting the road in the U.S. this year. Next year. The tour begins January the 30th in Miami, and then we'll run through February the 14th, which is a show in Minneapolis. Deer Hunter, the band, will open the concerts in Boston and New York. The rest of the acts and the shows will be announced soon, but looks like they're going to be traveling next year, so you can check
it out. And don't forget Saturday, December 7th for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Yes!
Night number one at the Shrine, too.
Yes, that too.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon. Go to krock.com.
Yeah, I was out of town, of course, when you guys made the announcement, but I was surprised. I didn't know you guys were going to make the announcement until I got the emails. They're already coming in, people demanding tickets. Just, this is the greatest lineup ever. This is the greatest lineup ever. Getting tickets. I have AIDS. I'm sorry about your personal problems.
It is unbelievable
just
the
can't
stories.
Get tickets for everybody.
That people make up. Some of you might be telling the truth, but it's impossible for us to know.
Right. So we just ignore all the afflicted. Don't come out to your afflictions. Don't give me your afflictions, people.
And by the way, how many handicapped and sick people do you think we want to hang out with at Acoustic Christmas? I mean, think about that before you send your email.
Well, I'm going to fill the venue full of sickies. That's no fun for anybody. It's not a Make-A-Wish Foundation event. You know what I'm saying? Party.
Be healthy and be strong and come ready to party.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sally Field is 67 years old today. Actress Maria Shriver, well, she's sometimes actress, sometimes TV correspondent, mostly just married Arnold Schwarzenegger, however. She's 58. Glenn Frey, the Eagles, is 65. Kelly Rutherford, 45 years old today. Ethan Hawke is 43. Both Thandie Newton and Rebecca Romijn turned 41 today. Taryn Manning is 35. Former NBA player Lamar Odom, he's 34 years old.
He's still trying, right?
What's
he's
up, Lamar? Have we found him lately? What's
I think he's trying to get back in.
Is he really?
To the NBA, I think.
Yeah, must be out of crack money.
Yeah.
And actress Emma Stone. She puts the in Emma. She's 25 years old today. Does. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Is my girlfriend on the phone?
Yes. Can you control yourself? Because I really don't want you to ruin everything.
Aisha, Tyler, welcome back to the Kevin Abid Show, my dear. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing fine. Aisha, of course, is the busiest person in Hollywood. She's got the podcast. She's one of the co-hosts of The Talk on CBS every day. She's got her stand-up comedian thing that she does. She's writing books. She's doing a podcast all the time. Frankly, you're the reason it's so difficult for anyone else to get a job in entertainment.
Well, if you're complaining about a black woman having a job in Hollywood, I have no sympathy for you. Sorry. Womp womp. Making up for the last couple hundred years. But you forgot two jobs. You forgot host of Whose Line Is It Anyway and Archer, which obviously.
Well, of course. There's those.
I am the black female Ryan Seacrest. I do have all the jobs.
Do you ever look at it? And I know you do. You're at a position now where you could probably pick and choose to do only the things that you love. But do you ever look at it and go, I got to cut a couple of things out? I mean, I'm being pulled in too many directions every day.
Yes and no. I mean, no, I don't think you ever get to a point in your career where you can pick and choose. I think maybe like Tom Cruise and Will Smith are there, but the rest of us are just like, oh, please God, let me not be fired. The payment on my house is so high.
Right.
But I love what I do, and I'm really gratified by it, and I always tell people that I'm really only happy when I have that kind of penny taste of panic in my mouth that I was like, oh God, it's never going to get done. And I also think I'm more creative when I'm under pressure. Like if I've got 50 things to do, I can get 49 done by the weekend. But if I've got one thing to do, like maybe next like July, I'll have it done for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to finish that. I got too much time.
No, I got so many aliens to kill on my Xbox. So I love being busy. And I also, as an artist, I've had periods where I was super slammed and periods where I was watching a whole lot of Nickelodeon Junior. So I'm just psyched to be working, and I feel super lucky. So, you know, I don't take any of it for granted.
You're so smart, though, Aisha. I sometimes wonder when I see you interview some of the guests that you have to interview on the talk. See, you're in a different position than we are, because we don't take guests that we don't want to talk to. But mm-hmm. you're on a show with lots of other people, and it's a daytime network show where you have to interview a lot of people that I know you don't give a rat's ass about. Like today, you're spending an hour with Tori Spelling. How's that good? How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't think it's entirely an hour. I mean, here's the thing, without beating up on Tori. I'm lucky that there are four other people at the table who I really do like. So if we ever have a guest who's a dud, we just end up talking to each other.
Does it get a little uncomfortable? Does your guest go, hey, here, I'm here?
It's like high school sex. It's over before they've recognized what's happening. but also, I feel like... I really try to not be a jaded person. You know, my podcast helps with that, because on my podcast I do only talk to people I want to talk about, and it's my show for 90 minutes, and I get to ask every question, I get to curse, and I get to be, you know, I get to ask, you know, adult questions, and we get to be filthy, and so I've got that outlet. When I'm on the talk during the day, to me, I feel like I don't want to be one of those people who's never curious about anybody, even someone that maybe on their face I don't have anything in common with or I don't relate to. You know, I always say, like, if you can't find something interesting about somebody, that means that you're not an interesting person.
That's on you.
I feel like if you're a curious mind, there's always something you can get out of experience, even if it's just... Maybe breast implants aren't for everybody. I don't know. Whatever it is that you're going to learn, you'll learn something from that situation.
That's a great attitude. And I think about that sometimes. You know, we have like Kevin and Bean events sometimes where a bunch of people will be at a party and they won't want to talk to 95% of the people in the room. And sometimes you put blinders on with mm-hmm. the people around you because you think you don't have anything in common, or you think you won't like them or won't find anything interesting about them. And if you really did just put the foot forward a little bit, I think people would be surprised by how interesting most people are.
Yeah, and I just, like I said, you know, boring people are bored. You know what I mean? Like, I can find something interesting about anyone. And, you know, when I was doing all the book tour for my book, Self-Inflicted Wounds, you know, the whole book is about learning from failure and, like, going into situations, like, with a radical approach. Like, this is going to go terribly. I don't care. I'm going to go bananas. Let's see what happens. And, you know, I'm like, you know, I might break a bone, but let's see what goes down. And someone asked me, well, are there any non-learning situations? And I said, no, they're just non-learning people.
Yeah,
you know
we've had a lot of interviews here that go terribly south, and they're not good interviews. And about 90% of the time later, we go, well, that's on us.
You can always find something. You can always find something interesting about some people. And, like, sometimes after the conversation, you go, I don't want to do that again for a while.
Right.
But, you know, and I've even had people on my podcast, because, like I said, that's my own fangirl explosion every week. I only invite people on that I'm interested by. But a couple times people have been pitched to me, and there was something about them that was interesting, and I thought going in, this isn't going to be that great. And then they shock me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They shock me. But the great thing about a podcast is you can corner somebody for an hour alone with no publicist and just wear them down, you know what I mean, until they've just burst into tears blubbering, and then you draw it out.
You waterboard them, or just...
Yeah, just a subtle waterboarding under the table, you know, and it's like, why do I feel so strange? I'm like, oh, it's the water. Yes,
This is the voice of Aisha Tyler on the Kevin DeBean Show here. She, of course, mentioned Archer, which is one of our very favorite shows,
and it's coming
back for season 5, by the way.
Yeah.
It is on FX starting January 13th for season 5, Mondays at 10. You are doing a very, very cool event coming up this weekend for Archer fans. You don't do this very often. Tell us about it.
No. So Archer, we take the show live. We take it on tour. We haven't done a million dates. So this is like kind of an unusual occurrence for us as a cast, because if people don't know this about the show, we don't work together. We never record the voices for the show together. We're completely separate. In fact, Amber, who plays Pampuvi, and Lucky Yates, who plays Krieger, only met for the first time this year.
What? Wow. You're going into season 5. That's crazy.
Yeah, we're going into season 5, and they just met a few months ago.
So it's an animated show. So what do you do live? How do you translate that?
Oh, not Pampuvi and Lucky. I'm sorry, not Pampuvi. Not Amber and Lucky. Amber and Judy Greer. Sorry about that. Yeah,
okay.
No, Amber and Lucky work together. Sorry, I've been drinking. It's so early. the shots taste better, you know, when the sun hasn't come up.
I hear you.
So we all record our episodes completely separately, and we rarely see each other. So when we come on this tour, it's a unique experience for us. It's a unique experience for the audience. We do a bunch of stuff they've never seen on the show. We bring audience members up onto stage, and they get to play us in scenes with us, with the actors from Archer. We show them a bunch of footage that hasn't been shown yet, and it's just this experience, this really really unique experience for Archer fans to kind of see the show live, hear the show live, interact with us. We drink a lot. I always say that because we never see each other, we end up kind of regressing into our actual cartoon characters. So there's just like a lot of drinking and slapping and like weird sexual tension and crying. Someone gets naked. John Benjamin kind of fake fellates a person. It's always really upsetting, is my point. It's always psychologically damaging for both us and the audience, which is entirely worth the price.
Sounds like my kind of night.
And by the way, as Lana Kane, I think, Aisha, you're required to get pregnant on stage Saturday night just to kind of keep it in character, right?
Or at least do all the things that would lead to that that end, yeah.
Exactly.
Fake pregnancy is just, it's not good for my wardrobe.
The show is November 9th. Now, I don't have the calendar for me. Is that Saturday night
at the Nokia. It's funny that I don't even know. They're going to come get me, and then I'll just walk through a door, and I'll be. But it's at the Nokia place down.
Club Nokia.
Nokia Theater. Downtown.
Called Nokia.
Thank you. You know more about it than I do.
8 o'clock.
And tickets are available right now if you want to go check it out at Club Nokia. And also, we're going to give away a few pairs right now. If you're an Archer fan, please be an Archer fan and call to see this great live event at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take the first five callers through who want to see the great cast of Archer live this Saturday night. Aisha, the time always goes by so fast.
It's
we don't have you on
fun.
nearly often enough, so please come back and see us anytime, my dear.
It was great talking with you guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have an awesome
day. Bye. Saoirse Ronan is the greatest actress and so talented and so lovely, but her true ambition is to be a TV presenter.
It's true.
So if you want, this is a rare opportunity.
Okay.
Do you want to read the cheesy introduction to yourself on camera one?
I would love to.
There it is.
I would love to.
Go ahead.
Okay. From Atonement to the Lovely Bones to Hannah, Saoirse Ronan, or Saoirse Ronan as most people call her, is making all the right decisions in her career, and her latest film, How I Live Now, is no exception.
You gotta love a woman who does her own introduction, ladies and gentlemen. Saoirse Ronan in studio along with her director, Kevin McDonald, from the new film called How I Live Now, out on Friday on demand and on iTunes. Hi, you guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I sounded so Irish in that clip.
Well, I wonder why.
Was that a bad thing?
Why could that be?
It's just really Irish. There's a lot of Irish sounds in there.
So we got a lot of foreigners in the building here this morning. Saoirse, you're Irish American, right? Kevin, you are Scottish, full on Scottish.
I'm Swedish.
Other Kevin. Kevin McDonald. You are Scottish. That's right.
I don't think he was asking you. I think he probably already knows.
Yeah, he does. Just button in.
I'm from Scotland.
Fantastic. Now, so many things we got to cover about this How I Live Now. Tell me how you guys ended up working together on this movie.
Well, the lead in the movie is a teenage girl, and she's American. And so I came to America. I met loads of great American actors and lots of unknown actors, actresses. And I couldn't find anyone who seemed to be right. And then the casting director said, "What about Saoirse?" And I said, "No, never, please, don't do it to." And I thought that she was too. I thought that she was a little old for it, and she's Irish. And then, of course, I met her, and she does, you know, an impeccable American accent, and she. Is a genius actor, so I was privileged to get the opportunity to work with her.
It seems to me to be difficult to do the different dialects, like Scottish versus Irish versus whatever. Is it easy for you to do an English an American accent?
I mean, it's the accent that I've done more than any other accent, and I think even though I never had an American accent because I was born in New York.
Right.
And even though I never had an American accent because I moved back so young and was always kind of surrounded by Irish people.
You moved to Ireland when you were three?
When I was about three and a half. But I think my ear was always open to those sounds because I grew up watching Seinfeld and Cheers and American kids' TV shows and films and things like that.
Mm-hmm. You're a great mimic too, though. You're a great mimic. She's always mimicking me.
Is that right?
Yeah. Embarrassing. I do the worst American accent.
You do the best American accent because it's the worst American.
She appreciates the badness.
And I think in order for Kevin to get into the heart of a teenage girl, he thought that he needed to put on this amazing American accent.
And did you just laugh at him?
Yeah, all the time. Because I had the sensibility
she
of a Scottish person.
Showed me
person.
No mercy.
Oh, grouse. Grouse.
Now, this How I Live Now, I am like many people who is unfamiliar with the source material, but this is based on a very popular book, right, that has millions of fans around the world, which always, I imagine, Kevin, presents some unique challenges because you're taking the vision of something that people already have in their heads. They've already imagined it in their minds when they've read the book, and now you've got to play it out for them. On screen. How do you approach something like that? How true to the source material do you feel you need to stay? Or at some point, do you just cut it loose and go, all right, you give me my characters now, I'm just going to go off and make a great movie?
Well, that's kind of what I did. I didn't worry really about whether I was being true to the book. I probably should have, but I didn't, because I think film and literature are so different, you know, and yeah. Particularly in this case, because the book is written in the first person. It's almost like a diary of this girl. She's a troubled American girl whose mother is dead, and she is sent by her father to stay with her English cousins for the summer, and she really doesn't want to be there, and she arrives, and all sorts of terrible things happen. But it's all inside her head in the book. Right. And how do you do that in film? So you have to change things, and we end up cutting certain characters, changing the ending to foreshorten it. So the people who
love the book, what's their reaction?
Oh, they're going to hate it.
Yeah, they're going to hate it.
No, they're not going to hate it. I think the author of the book, more important than anything else, Meg Rossoff, loves the film, and she's wise enough to understand that you have to change things.
Right.
You know, it's a different medium.
If you do it directly, it won't come out well.
Well, exactly. Then you end up just with this sort of plodding, literal kind of thing that, you know, it's half book, half film.
Right.
And I think the main thing is still there, that Daisy and Eddie fall in love. I mean, that's really...
Yeah, I mean, the spirit of the book is there. I think that's why Meg, the writer, still really likes it, is that, you know, she feels that it is in essence the book, and the characters are the same, and the message of the same, is the same.
Now, Mr. McDonald, when you say terrible things happen, it's the freaking apocalypse. Now, that's
about as bad as it gets.
That's more than just a bad day. When you're tackling the apocalypse, you must have had a lot of decisions with how much to show. How much to show of that, because at some point that kind of overwhelms the characters, right?
All right, we need to take a quick break.
Hi, we'll let you answer that. Nice man.
We'll let the nice man answer that when we come back. It's Kevin McDonald and Saoirse Ronan, and we'll be right back on the Kevin.
This is a little bit too fancy for the Kevin and Bean Show, but an Academy Award-winning director, Kevin McDonald, in studio with us right now, and an Academy Award-nominated actress, Saoirse.
I've
just went in now.
Saoirse.
You were so good at it.
Always come to me for pronunciation.
Just fun in this time, because we were having the conversation off the air about what a nightmare it is for Saoirse, because no one can pronounce or spell her name properly.
Well, it is spelled S-A-O-I-R-S-E.
Yes.
That makes no sense
obviously,
whatsoever.
It's pronounced Saoirse.
Right, of course.
Obviously, Kevin.
Clearly.
Obviously.
It's a nightmare in Starbucks, though.
Is that right?
When you go up to order a coffee and they ask you what your name is, I always give my mom's name. There's no point.
Yeah.
There's no point in wasting 2 minutes trying to explain. Or just... It's Irish. It's a really important name. Anyway, make the coffee.
Now, when we had to go, because my Kevin is a bad man, we were talking about How I Live Now, the awesome new movie that these kids have made that is available on demand and on iTunes this Friday, November 8th.
And in theaters.
And I was asking you, Kevin... how much of the apocalypse, you had to have a conversation at some point because this is a huge, 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 the biggest event. How much of that do you want to show in the film, and how did you decide what to leave and what to leave out on that storyline?
Well, we left almost all of it out because this is about what happens sort of off screen, as it were. We've all seen so many times, you know, New York being blown up, the Golden Gate Bridge being torn from its girders. And we didn't need to see that again. This is really about a bunch of kids who are left on their own while the war is going on around them. And to begin with, they're kind of unaffected by it and actually really loving it, because there's no adult supervision. They're able to do whatever they want. And they fall in love. Saoirse and the male lead fall in love. And surprisingly, it's a rather lovely time while the war is going on. And then it impacts on them. The lovers are separated. And really, then the second half of the story follows Saoirse as she treks across a war-torn England, a post-apocalyptic England, to get back to the boy that she loves.
Oh,
what's your?
That's my kind of movie. I'll tell you that.
What's your movie rated?
R.
Now,
rated R.
It's 15, isn't it?
It is.
Well, in England, it's 15. Here, they don't have 15. It's just R.
Yeah, we have PG-13, and then we have R.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah, they
PG
don't have
13.
The in between. No,
but
it's not PG-13.
The weird thing about that is there was a sort of a backlash toward the R rating, because it's just language, and Does that seem weird to you?
Well, it always seems weird to me because also there are so many movies which get a PG-13 rating, which have, I think, kind of sadistic themes and horrible content. But if you stick to the letter of the law, you know, you can't see a body jerking when it's shot, or you can't see a bit of blood in the air, but you can see plenty of other stuff.
Right.
But as long as you stick to the letter of the law, then you get the PG-13
rating.
But
if you use the F word how many times?
If you're actually...
Whoa! And we can't say it at all on the radio, Kevin.
You can only say Jesus a certain amount of times as well.
Really? Is that right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
You,
that's not a curse word.
So you did the whole movie, and then you turn it into the ratings board. And did you ever consider trying to change the language in here? No, you just said that's what it is.
No, you know what? In this case, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
it's
integral.
It's
integral to the film and to this character.
Yeah. It's the apocalypse. People are going to swear.
They're going to swear. They're going to swear.
Exactly. Oh, frick. I don't think so.
Now, Saoirse, you are getting, obviously, rave reviews, as you always do, for playing somebody who actually seems like a real teenager rather than a movie teenager. And I'm sure that that's a lot of what attracted you to this script as well, right? Is it just seems realistic.
Well, that's good. Yeah, it is. It's very realistic. I think a lot of that is down to the book. I mean, Meg is a very realistic, grounded person. And then that really translated into the script as well in a very real way. And then having a director like Kevin, who is kind of the perfect balance in a way, somebody who's very practical and realistic, but also really wants to bring the emotion out in a scene. So I think we had all the instruments that we needed to make a character like that. But it was a challenge to find that balance between somebody who's very kind of abrasive and very kind of harsh on people to begin with, and still show even just a flicker of that vulnerability that she has, in order for the audience to care, because otherwise they wouldn't care what would happen to her, you know?
Is it difficult to get this kind of movie out there as far as making an impact in the marketplace when basically there are $100 million movies out there with $100 million, you know, budgets for advertising and stuff? Is it tough?
Yeah, of course, it's always a challenge. But I think that hopefully quality shines through in the end, and that it's not going to have a huge opening weekend, but over the months, over years, it builds up a following. People watch it, they rewatch it. And I think because I hope that the movie has some truthfulness about it. And it's a very, very moving story about transformation of this girl from being a really unhappy, unloved, unlovable girl into someone who's a grown-up. An average teenager, basically, yes.
Talk about your teenager, your star sitting next to you, Mr. McDonald, because what a career, and we're going to pretend you're not here, Saoirse, what a career she has had at only 19 years old. The people that she has worked with, being nominated for an Academy Award at 13, the kinds of roles that she's getting now. I mean, it's really kind of insane to see the level of quality.
Yeah, it's intimidating to be in the same room as her.
It certainly is.
Can you go outside?
Watch it, McDonald.
No. You know, it's quite strange to be in, you know, to be making a film with an actress who's so young as Saoirse is, and yet she's done many more films than I have. Worked with some of the best directors.
Is she giving you tips?
She really is. Some of the best directors she's worked with from around the world. So, what is extraordinary about it is that she switches on and off this amazing talent. You know, when the cameras aren't rolling, she's chatting to everybody in her gorgeous Irish accent and being the sweetest, most down-to-earth girl that you can imagine. And as soon as the camera starts rolling, she clicks into this other person, into this character.
You must be happy that's the case instead of the kind of actress who stays in character for the whole time.
It's a lot more fun for us. there's no doubt that Saoirse just has an incredible talent. And whether it's God-given or whether she's created it herself, I don't know where it comes from. But there's nobody else quite like her out there, in certainly in her age group.
Now, I'm going to turn the tables now, Saoirse, and ask you, because you've worked with so many great directors, you know, with Joe Wright and with Wes Anderson. Kevin's got to be one of the worst, right?
I never want to work with that guy again.
It was such
a terrible experience. It really was. I feel really odd about talking about someone when they're here. But Kevin's...
I've got my fingers in my ear.
Yeah, Kevin's definitely one of my favourite people that I've ever worked with. I love him as a person and as a director. As I said, he's kind of, you know, got the perfect balance in a way. He's got everything that I look to in a director, and he makes
this is a sweet moment, you guys.
I know, but we don't do this. We don't compliment right. each other, so it's hard.
How much?
But he really is. He's very, very special, and I hope we get to keep working together. So
how much?
That's all I'm going to say.
How much difference does a director make on a movie? Is it all? Is that how much difference?
It makes the biggest difference to me. The director is he or she are the most important people to me on set. Doesn't mean they have to act like that, but at the same time, and Kevin doesn't, which is what's so fantastic about him, because there are a lot of directors who are wonderful, but they know that they're wonderful.
Yeah, sure.
So it was always, it felt like we were really working alongside each other, and that's an amazing relationship.
He had to be a dick at some point, though, right?
He wasn't. He really wasn't. We were, but he wasn't, and he had the patience of a saint, you know. But a director, I mean, to me, I do everything for the director. They're the boss. They're the person I want to make happy, so...
I have to ask you, Kevin, in our remaining moments here again, talking about How I Live Now, everywhere available in theaters and on download, iTunes, everywhere this Friday. It's like Cat Wrangley when you have that many kids on a set, I would imagine, because I'm sure there's a lot of waiting around time where the kids go off and they start playing or fighting or whatever it is they do. And you're trying to get them all together and kind of back on the same page. Was that what it was like?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was like. I felt like the camp counselor the whole time. So today we're going to go swimming, kids.
Yeah, we had a bell by the end. Come on.
And a whip. No, it was the most fun on a set you could possibly imagine, because when you got a bunch of kids, the youngest girl in the film is only 10 years old. There was a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old, and Saoirse was 18, and 20-year-old, the leading man, George Mackay. They're just having a great time. There's no airs and graces. There's no kind of pretentiousness.
No ego.
And that's really, really nice, I have to say. And it feels like play. It feels like play.
Well, thanks for coming in and classing up the place today. We really do very much appreciate it. And the movie is terrific. And I really do think it's the type of thing that a lot of our audience is really, really going to get into. It's called How I Live Now, by the way. Again, it opens up everywhere on Friday and lots of different platforms, so there's no excuse to not see it. Kevin, what's next for you, by the way? What's your next film?
I'm staying here. We're going to do the show business.
No. Kevin McDonald. Oh. What are you doing next?
I've just finished shooting a film with Jude Law. It's a submarine thriller.
A submarine thriller.
It's part of that great genre. You know how it's going to end.
Death?
They're all going to drown.
Yeah.
No, it's a happy ending. It's a happy ending.
And Saoirse, how about you? I know you've already shot a couple of things that are in the pipeline.
Yeah.
Next one to come out, is that going to be the Wes Anderson?
Yeah, the next one to come out will be Wes's film. So I think that's coming out in the UK in February. And I heard yesterday it's actually opening the Berlin Film Festival.
Oh, no kidding.
That's exciting.
Oh, how about
February
that?
Or March, yeah. So we're very excited about that.
Yeah, that's your life, going to work with Ray Fiennes and Bill Murray and Ed Norton and those kinds
brilliant.
Of guys, right? That's
wasn't
your life.
Wasn't as good as working with Kevin.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Just because Kevin's here.
All right,
pay
you guys.
Me later, Kevin.
Go see How I Live Now everywhere Friday. We insist. Thanks so much for coming in, you two. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
I haven't worked out all the details of what I'm going to do with my millions of dollars that I make from investing in Twitter tomorrow.
Sure.
But I think I'm going to order everyone else to leave the island. I think I'm just going to have the island just be just for me.
Good idea.
That's the way I'm going to play
it. Can you do that? Bean's obsessed sure. with the Twitter IPO, and I don't know exactly why, but yesterday he spent all day talking about it.
Well, he loves Twitter. That's part of
it. He does love Twitter, but he's the worst tweeter ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The first thing Twitter should do when it goes into public hands is block him.
But it's genius, because if he owns a piece of it, then they can't throw him off, which I think they're very close
that's
to
That's what
doing.
He's afraid of.
Yeah, there he wants a little piece of ownership so they can't boot him all right. as they should.
Well, you could own some of Twitter with Bean, and we'll talk about it next.
But isn't it like, and we'll talk about it next, so we'll find out more details, but isn't it the same concern that people had about Facebook, which is, yeah, okay, you can own stock in it, but then how do you monetize that? How do you generate income off of a social media?
I'd like to not talk about that so that Bean could lose everything.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I think it's a great idea, Bean. I think you put everything you have into do it. Sell all of your many homes and then just put all of that money right into Twitter stock.
The people that bought Facebook at the beginning, Ralph, are up probably about 40% from what they paid for it. I mean, that is a stock that that did dip and then went back up and has kept going up.
It's
so those people are making money.
It's a can't miss.
You're right. Load it. Just sell the farm, literally in your case, and just book it. Book it.
I know the stock market is a mystery to me.
No.
We'll talk to someone from Forbes coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
Talking about money, I felt horrible not being here Monday, so I just couldn't crow about my significant wager I put on the Eagles over the Raiders Sunday.
And what a win it was.
And lots of, when I got back here to the station, I hadn't checked my email from my work email.
Right.
And just to all those listeners, all those Raiders fans listeners who sent me the disparaging emails Friday, I guess it was. Well, geez, what can I say? But, ha ha. So I guess all I can really say.
It wasn't
Raiders
even close.
Fans. Well, it's because Nick Foles is one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Of all time,
one of the best seven quarterbacks to ever play the game.
Sure.
Only six other quarterbacks in the history of the league have ever done what he did, so he's obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks in history.
I don't think that's premature.
Nope. I think it's more than fair. Come see me and Kevin Smith if you happen to be near Brea, California. A lot of people always complain we don't get down there nearly enough. Well, we're coming to you this Saturday. Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith happening at the Brea Improv.
No.
Go to improv.com and get your tickets for this Saturday night at 9 p.m. We're going to be doing the show down there. Looking forward to it. And then Sunday, I hop on a plane to go shoot something in Kevin's new movie, in his Walrus movie.
Awesome.
In North Carolina. So
his Walrus movie.
I told him this past weekend, we were in Philadelphia doing the show, and I said, is it possible? And I don't want to wish him any ill will, but he was talking about what a great time he's having there on set. Everyone's so nice to him, and he's making his dreams come true. I said, is it possible that it's all part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation? That you're terminally ill, and that nobody really is serious about making a movie about a crazy man who tries to turn another person into
a giving him a good time.
That's
it's not going to end up
one final. No one will ever see a frame of this movie, right. But isn't it possible they just want to give him a sweet send-off? Because it's a movie about a guy who gets turned into a walrus.
I love the concept.
I do, too. I'm looking forward to it. Alexander Skarsgård. It's hard to be him because he's devastatingly handsome, and he's ripped, and he's built, and he's on True Blood.
Yeah.
And he's just got everything.
All the girls love him.
And on top of it, I mean, it's just hard. That's hard enough. Star Magazine reporting that Taylor Swift and Katie Holmes are both fighting over him.
That's easy.
That is easy, isn't it?
Come on.
Yeah. You murder Taylor Swift to get to Katie Holmes.
Right?
Is that the solution of your problem?
Dare
right
you.
There?
You murder her to get to fill in the blank.
That's right.
Doesn't
to get
matter.
To 7-Eleven. You run her over. She's in your way, and you're going to Subway. Reportedly both are pining for Alexander Skarsgård, but he's playing it cool with both ladies and really hasn't made his choice yet of which one he's going
to. They're not the only two.
No.
Yeah, I was
not.
Just going to say, those two are in the story, but aren't there about 100 million other ladies who are lined up for that dude?
He's got his pick, pretty much.
Yeah.
As does Richard Simmons.
I'm sorry.
That was a poor segue.
Yeah.
RadarOnline.com reporting that he ran a bill up at a Palm Springs nightclub last weekend to the tune of $1,400.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Wine, I guess?
Champagne, I guess.
Champagne? That's crazy.
That's a lot of fellas. That's a lot of fellas in spandex having a good time for $1,400. Then he balked when the manager came up to him and presented him with the tab. Didn't want to pay it.
Really?
Any of it?
Any of it.
What?
Then apparently they haggled and worked out a price that he was happier with. I didn't know this was a thing.
You can't haggle at a restaurant.
You don't go to a bar and then haggle.
Yeah, look, I know it's $1,400, but I'll give you $700, not a penny more. What the hell?
He also made the staff very nervous, reportedly, by dancing on the tables and yanking on the place's custom lighting system.
Love it.
Ooh, bet that wasn't the only thing he was yanking that weekend. Yeah, so a drunk Richard Simmons at a nightclub dancing on the tables. Oof.
Wow.
That's a scary thought.
And then, now I hear some ugliness in your voice.
Well, I'm sorry, Richard. That's just...
Richard! Richard Simmons! Dick Simmons! Dick!
Yep.
In-depth interview with...
All right. Hi, Linda.
Selena, you all have a wonderful morning, and I hope you listeners will get a sweat into the oldies three. Remember to take care of your health.
Thank you, Richard.
It's the only thing you have.
That's true, Richard. Thank you.
Bye, Pete. Bye, Linda.
Bye, Pete and Linda.
Can I be Pete?
Sure.
Okay, good. Pete.
Only leaves Linda.
Selena Gomez just been announced. She will perform at the halftime show at the Thanksgiving game that Dallas Cowboys host every year. She's going to be performing, kicking off the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign for the holiday season. So, that's good news, I guess.
Sure.
She's attractive and talented.
Sure.
To a certain extent.
Sure.
Who's the person that hates the Salvation Army Red Kettles?
Omar.
Oh, Omar. That's
the bell, the ringing of the bell.
That's right. He hates the bell.
Drives him crazy.
And Jennifer Garner, even though she's a rich and famous movie star and wife to Ben Affleck, still not easy making a movie while you're still breastfeeding, she says. She used to have to pump milk for her little boy Samuel while making the Dallas Buyers Club, which caused a few big problems on the set. Apparently, according to sources on the set, said it wasn't uncommon for her camera operator to point out that the girls were massive by day's end and perhaps wouldn't match an earlier shot earlier in the day.
So go with the later in the day one.
So she had to reduce her volume a little bit in order to get back to a consistent size.
Giant size cans.
Yeah, apparently she was a little bloated.
It's funny that it wouldn't match from morning to night of the same day.
Just get the pump, get the pumps out, boys. Matthew McConaughey could have used a little of that breast milk in that film. He looks a little
that's
on,
scary.
A little on the thin side. Could have used it.
I mean, look, there's one thing to lose weight for role. There's another thing, I think, honestly, to put your health in jeopardy. I can't be healthy to lose that much weight. Wasn't he down to like 125 or something around?
He was skeletal.
Are you kidding?
No, he was skeletal.
Oh, my God.
He lost muscle and everything. But they say the performance is remarkable.
All right. So, well, that's all that matters.
Maybe it's worth the cost. Today's celebrity birthday is Sally Field. Legendary Oscar-winning actress, 67 years old today. Singer Glenn Frey of the band The Eagles is 65. Kelly Rutherford, the actress, is 45. Ethan Hawke turns 43. Thandie Newton and Rebecca Romijn both celebrate their 41st birthday today. Tara Manning is 35. Former NBAer, current cracker, Lamar Odom is 34 years old today. I kid. I don't know whether he's doing crack or not. Don't sue us, Lamar. And actress Emma Stone celebrates her 25th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget, Friday at noon, K-Rock Street Team members can buy their tickets for night number one of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. We just announced it on Monday. If you haven't heard yet, Saturday, December 7th at the Shrine with a great lineup, including Kings of Leon, also Vampire Weekend, Queens of the Stone Age, AFI. What a great live band they are, by the way.
They're great.
Arctic Monkeys, Cage the Elephant, Group Love Foles, New Politics. That's all going to be one stage, one night. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. You can get all the details at KROQ.com. How soon after I start buying Twitter shares do I get to quit this dog and pony show and never talk to any of you again? That's my question.
Well, if it goes down, it's going to be a long, long time.
I guess that's,
for you.
That's the downside of the mysterious stock market. We have been hearing a lot about Twitter finally be available for us, the public, to get in on. And I guess it's happening this week. We'll get all the details from the people who know Forbes magazine at Forbes.com. I hope I'm saying this right. Jeff Berkovici on the phone. Is that right, Jeff?
You nailed it.
All right. Well, we're not going to try it again later, so we're just going to call you Jeff from now on. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Every once in a while, a stock comes along that seems a little sexier than most. It's something that we understand, something we know about, something we use every day, and it kind of tempts us, even those of us who aren't usually in the stock market, to kind of get into it. And Twitter seems to be one of those that has captured a lot of people's imaginations. Am I right?
That is a great point. People do have a weird attraction to buying stocks that are stocks of companies whose products they also like to buy or use.
Yeah, and it's also getting in on the ground floor of something that you think might explode. We all hear stories of, if you had bought stocks in Ford, if you had bought stocks in whatever, right, you know, in the day, you sure would be rich right now.
Yeah, usually Apple is the one in that
Apple,
sense.
Sure.
I hear it.
Sure.
So Twitter, there's a lot of questions I have for you, Jeff, so I'll just fire them at you and maybe you can help me understand. I heard that Twitter is valued at being worth something like $11 billion. For what?
Well, that is the question, right? I mean, the traditional or orthodox valuation of a company is supposed to be a multiple of its revenues, or technically a multiple of its projected future earnings. Now, Twitter doesn't have any earnings yet because they're still losing money. They do have revenues, at least, which isn't always the case when a big tech company goes public. Sometimes they go public with no revenues at all, so that's at least a point in their favor. But, this is a bet on their future. You're not buying a piece of their present action.
Is this going to greatly change Twitter? I mean, are they going to have to start running ads or find a way to monetize it?
You know, it's funny you say start running ads. I've heard that a couple of times, and a lot of people have a feeling right now that Twitter doesn't really have ads on it, which I think probably thrills Twitter executives.
Well, they have promoted tweets, right? Is that what they call them?
They have promoted tweets, exactly. An advertiser can pay to promote their own content to people who don't necessarily follow them, but they don't sell, you know, quote unquote ads the way that other companies do.
But my question is, will they have to?
It could potentially create more pressure in the future for them to do it. Yes, if they aren't able to achieve the kind of earnings growth that Wall Street wants to see, then yes, there could at some point in the next couple of years be pressure for them to sell something that's a more familiar form of advertising.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're answering to stockholders rather than just doing whatever you want. Now, are there a few guys at the top, Jeff, who stand to become ridiculously wealthy when this IPO opens?
Oh, yeah, absolutely there are. Of course, the co-founders, Jack Dorsey, Biz Stone, Evan Williams, they're all in that pool. Dick Costolo, who is the current CEO, is in that group. And then the venture capitalists who backed Twitter in the early rounds. And also this private equity company, Rizvi Traverse, which also surprised everybody, actually, when the financials came out by owning a pretty huge stake. And their name hadn't really come out in connection with it before.
Is it possible that once it goes public, they're going to have the power to kick people who are bad at it off? And I'm thinking of my man Bean, and that's
how
why,
dare you?
That's why Bean wants to buy stock, so they can't kick him off for being a horrible tweeter.
That wouldn't be among my top concerns.
It's
Bean,
his though, because your tweets are fine.
So, Jeff, on a serious note, there are a couple different ways to get in on this as a member of the public, right? You can try to get in on the IPO, or you can just wait until that's already happened and it's trading publicly, right? That's another option for the Joe consumer.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a tougher IPO to get in on as Joe consumer, because Twitter's not the what they call the float, the actual amount of stock that they're putting out there isn't as big as it has been with some other IPOs, particularly Facebook, which just basically flooded the market with shares. And you know, retail investors like you and me were able to buy a lot of them. In this case, they're really the IPO is what they call oversubscribed. So it's really going to be only big institutions that have access to big blocks of stock at the beginning.
Sorry, Bean.
Isn't that interesting? So in other words, basically, if I want to buy it, I'm going to have to wait for somebody who got in on the IPO to then turn around and decide to sell it.
Pretty much, yeah. That's probably the way it will work out.
But Jeff, there's a decent chance that they'll sell it at a certain amount and it'll take a dive. Like, didn't Facebook do the exact same thing where they lost a lot and then they turned it around, started making it? So maybe at that bottom point, Bean can start buying it up and then go broke.
Yeah, the people who really made a killing were the ones who waited out that initial turbulence on Facebook. But, you know, Facebook was a pretty unique set of circumstances. There were actually technical problems in the way it was trading, and they made the bankers handling the IPO made some real mistakes that they'll be very careful to avoid this time around. So I wouldn't count on this playing out the same way that Facebook did.
It has been interesting, though, to see the various ranges of opinion on whether Twitter is going to be a good investment. There are some people who seem to be really into it, but a lot of other people are very hands-off, very cautious about it. What's the sense you're getting there around the Forbes.com newsroom?
Well, you know, we take a poll at Forbes, and you can actually go to our site. Our lead tech editor, Bruce Upton, he runs a poll with all these big IPOs, and we all kind of take whacks at where we think it's going to come in. Of course, you know, if you trust journalists for your investing opinion, then you're probably going to lose a lot of money. But yeah, you're right. The range is all over the place, and that's because, again, you're betting on, you know, you're not betting on a company that makes a physical product and you can say it costs them X to make each unit, they can sell it at Y. You're betting on a notional business model that, you know, I mean, a big part of the reason that these companies do go public at such high multiples is because with each one of them, the premise is we're doing something that's never been done before. So how do you value something that is completely new?
Right. And the risk for something like social media is, look, there's a long line of other social media products that have come and gone. And who knows, in 5 years, people may be laughing that there was a Twitter. You know what I mean? We may have all moved on to something else by then. There's just no way to tell, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, the idea, the reason that these companies can grow so fast is because, you know, of these network effects that accelerate their growth past what's possible in the world of physical goods. But those network effects can start running in reverse like they did with MySpace. And these companies can just tank way faster than anyone who's actually, you know, selling widgets.
So you can't lose, right, Bean?
I'm going to be so rich, you guys. All right, Jeff Brukovici from Forbes.com. We very much appreciate you coming on and helping us out with this, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Kevin, why aren't you at home playing Call of Duty right now? What's up with that?
That's my question.
I thought you were supposed to take the day off after Call of Duty comes out.
I'm not feeling well.
I have to go home now. Sorry, guys. Anyway, we're going to talk all about the brand new Call of Duty coming up just after 9 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we had a showbiz story, I want to say yesterday, when our friend Brad Williams was filling in on the showbiz beat, about an article that came out about celebrities that you went to high school with. People now reminiscing about people that they knew back in high school that went on to become famous people. And it's kind of interesting. Like Brad was telling us yesterday, no surprise, the people that they talked to that went to high school with Katherine Heigl said, oh, she was a bitch in high school.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't surprise anybody because apparently she stayed consistent throughout the rest of her life. But it's super interesting to see people that are now superstars. What were they like before they were regular people? And we want to read a couple of these, and then we want to take your calls. We don't do this very often, but we're looking for people who went, is it just high school or just you knew them before they were famous?
I think you knew them before they were famous, yeah.
Okay. Somebody who's now famous, but you knew them well enough to have an opinion on them back before they were famous. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 because it's always interesting to find out how people might change after they grow up and find success. For instance, Zach Galifianakis, who we all love, right? Went through school a couple
of
years.
Can I just object? Who we all
love. We don't all love Zach Galifianakis.
No.
Who doesn't love
Galifianakis.
Him?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the list that said Efron.
Oh.
Zach Efron. We all love Zach Galifianakis. My bad. Keep going. Well, you do that with Zach Efron a lot.
Zach Galifianakis, who we all love.
Yes, Bean.
Went through school a couple of years behind Zach Galifianakis, a nice, normal, and very funny kid. He was pretty popular, was nice to everybody, geeks and weirdos included. Great to see a nice, normal, and grounded guy make it big. For instance, that's what one person says. Listen to this, John Hamm. John Hamm went to my high school a little before I did. He grew up extremely poor and went on scholarship. By all accounts, he was very quiet, respectful, and intelligent. One of those people who uses his blue-collar background to give them a work ethic. That's what they say about John Hamm. That's nice to hear, right?
Yeah, very nice.
Kristen Stewart. My friend was on the swim team with Kristen Stewart in seventh grade, the year she was pulled out of school. She was just as socially awkward and introverted a person as she appears to be in the media.
Really?
What a boring human being that is.
No kidding. How does she ever get into the movies?
I don't know.
That's a great question. How about somebody who went to high school with Rivers Cuomo from Weezer? I went to school with Rivers. He was an outsider, but closer to graduation, he started to gain acceptance. His music projects were growing in popularity, and while he was never officially given this title in the yearbook, we thought of him as the most likely to become a rock star. Little did we know. Mm. He actually ended up becoming one. Kevin, this is gonna hurt you. Kate Upton.
Yes.
And by the way, when you see Kate Upton year after year as the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and you went to high school with her, don't you think, I should have really tried a lot harder in high school? I should have really paid attention to what was in front of me in high school so that I didn't let her get away when we all graduated.
I don't know that many people are that confident of their high school years.
Yeah.
I went to high school with Kate Upton, says this person. She had barely any personality. Which I really do hate to say because it's sad to see someone fit the pretty but completely vapid stereotype to such a T. My yearbooks are on the
shelf. Such a big liar.
My yearbooks are on the shelf in another room. I can scan a page if anyone doesn't believe me and wants proof. By the way, if that was the case in high school, I'm surprised by that because she has grown up to be somebody who I think has a great personality. If you've seen her interviewed, she seems, you know, vivacious and bubbly and fun. I don't like them saying bad things about Kate Upton.
I agree.
You liar!
But well, we are going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, if you knew somebody before they became famous. Beer Mug says that he went to high school with a couple of porn stars.
Really?
talk about should have tried harder. So we'll take your calls in just a second on the World Famous.
I knew them before they were famous. Looking at an interesting article on thoughtcatalog.com of people who were interviewed about celebrities that they went to high school with back before they were famous. We're going right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to go to Matt here first, but let me read two more for you real quick. I went to school with Coolio. He wasn't anything special. The only thing I really remember about him is that he would smoke weed by himself all the time in one of the hallways near the gym class.
Really? What a surprise.
And he went by the name Leon back then. That's from Coolio. And one more, Lisa May, your heart is going to melt when I tell you this.
Okay.
I went to elementary school with Ryan Gosling. He taught me how to tie my shoes and taught my friend how to read.
Oh, elementary school.
Could he be any more perfect as Ryan Gosling?
Love him so much.
What the hell? All right, let's go to the Kevin and Bean listeners to find out who they knew before they were famous and what they were like. Matt is up next. He's on line four.
I have to wait for them to put him on hold. I don't know why. There we go. All right. Matt, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin? How you doing, Bean? What's up, Mr. Matt?
Hello.
You went to high school.
Tell us.
With?
I went to high school with Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
No.
Yeah, Dos Pueblos High School in Galena, California, which is actually part of Santa Barbara, but nobody knows where it is, so everybody says Santa Barbara.
Okay.
All right. Now we've heard a lot about Katy Perry, about how she was raised in that strict Christian household, and then she just kind of broke away from that and became this phenomenal pop star. What was she like in high school?
Well, she was a freshman, I was a senior. She was a sweetheart, man. She's a little on the gullible side, but I mean, she was extremely nice to everyone. Her dad was very strict. I did meet him on one occasion. We went to homecoming together.
You took her to homecoming?
We did, yes, sir.
Wait, you were a freshman and she was a senior and she went with you?
No, the other way around.
I was a senior.
Oh, the other way around. Good call. Yeah, good move.
99-2000 school year. Her dad scared the crap out of me. He was real strict. So, I got her home by 11 o'clock, he said. And I was like, okay, sir, whatever you say.
Were you surprised to see how famous she became?
Not at all. I mean, she was really talented back then, and she was working with, she had an agent back then. I didn't know too much about that side of it, but I knew that she was working on things. She had a great voice back then. She was real dedicated in music. We were in choir together as well. And I kind of had a feeling that she would make it. So.
Isn't that something?
I just want to talk to Matt all day.
I hate that Katy Perry was a gullible freshman, by the way. That's a terrible image.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
gullible.
What to do with
she
that. All right.
Short hair, too.
All right. Good tip. Thank you.
You sound like a good guy, Matt. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Christine. She's up next. She's on line two, talking about you knew them before they were famous. Hi, Christine.
Hi, good morning, Kevin, Bean, and Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi, how you doing? What's going on?
Oh God, I'm so excited to speak to you guys.
Thank you, Christine.
I went to school with Blake Lively.
Nice.
Yeah. No, trust me, not that good. I was a freshman, and she was a freshman as well.
Right.
We were in Spanish class. Talk about messing up the Spanish language. Her and her friends would be like, hola, como esta?
was she being funny, or was she just...
No. She was a complete bitch. So it was really weird watching her on Gossip Girl. I'm like, if only I messed up the Spanish language.
Wow. How dare you? How dare you say a mean thing about Blake Lively? I won't hear of it. Even though you knew her and I didn't, I reject you totally.
It's all right, Christine, but thank you for calling. But we only want stories that we agree with, if that's cool.
All right, let's go to Nate. Here's an interesting one. Talk about a guy I know nothing about from his high school years. Nate's on line six.
Hi, Nate.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Very good, thank you. Who'd you go to school with?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger
wow.
Woods.
Wow.
Yeah,
so in high school, he was already a great golfer, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He was, my cousin was actually on his golf team. You know, we all went to high school together. My cousin was actually on his golf team and played golf with him. So he was killing it all over the high school ranks in golf, but still nobody knew who he was. You know, I mean,
right, sure.
I
mean, when he's in high school,
wasn't out there. Yeah. So he just was just completely just mellow, quiet, shy as could be, just never had a girlfriend, never you never heard his name anywhere.
Well, it's good there was one part of his life that did not have drama with women.
Look,
exactly.
He made up for that never having a girlfriend in high school in late years. But, I mean, you're absolutely right, though, Nate. I mean, there's no better way to be completely invisible in high school than to be on the golf team and really into golf. I mean, if that's where you're spending all your off hours, none of the other kids are ever going to see you, right?
Exactly. And then right from the golf, right after school, he goes straight. His dad would make him go straight to the golf course and, sure. and practice.
Sure. Amazing. All
day.
Right. Great call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Karen. She's got an interesting celebrity who's just been in the news this week. Hi, Karen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you. Who'd you go to school
with? I went to high school with Josh Brolin.
No kidding.
Nice.
Wow. How about that? So did you know him pretty well?
Yeah, it's funny. So I was a year older, and my friend and I had crushes on his two friends. So I have the car, so we used to pretend that we lived over where they lived and give them rides home all the time.
Hey, you guys want to ride home? And then you have to drive all the way across town to your place?
Yeah, exactly. But he was very cool. His dad was pretty, you know, a big name, and right. he was super chill about it. And then a couple years later, Goonies comes out, and we're all like, oh, my God.
That's him.
So have you been following the news? Have you been seeing all the trouble he's been getting into with cab drivers and everything else? It sounds like he could still use that ride.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Thank you, Karen, for the call. Let's go to Jared. Hi, Jared.
Good morning, party people. Lisa May.
Good morning.
You went to high school with?
Zach Levi.
Oh, please tell me he was always the coolest guy in the world like he is now.
Zach is exactly who you think he is. You couldn't find a more genuine, generous, kind, and an amazing guy. And he's always worked his ass off, even back when he was doing local theater and trying to get his career together.
And you never saw him steal lunch money or drown a puppy, nothing?
No, the only bad thing I ever heard him say was kill beer mug, and we all understand that.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. We're all on board with that.
Yeah, Zach does seem like one of those guys who's always been the coolest guy. Thank you, Jared. We appreciate that.
And he said that in high school. He didn't even know what it meant.
Amazing.
Right. Let's go to Robbie, by the way. This sounds like it's going to have a lot of drama on line 7.
Hey, Robbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. You went to high school with who?
I went to high school, Fairfax High School, with Slash and Steven Adler from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, wow.
Now, did you run with that crowd? Were you into the music or what?
I did. I was the original drummer, actually, for L.A. Guns, and then L.A. Guns turned into Guns N' Roses. So I was the original drummer for both bands.
What?
Great delivery. Great delivery.
I love that.
So I don't remember exactly how it went down, but did L.A. Guns, did it change into Guns N' Roses when Axl joined the band?
Yeah, see, Axl and Izzy were in a band called Hollywood Rose.
Right.
And then me and Tracy were in L.A. Guns, and we basically put the two bands together.
And they kicked you out and went on to success.
What happened to you?
Tracy and I left the band.
Great move.
I know, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah.
But we left the band, and then Slash and Steven replaced us.
So what was that like for you as the 90s went on and Guns N' Roses became the biggest band in the world and you knew all of those guys? Were you happy for them, or was it kind of bitter times?
No. You know what? I was totally happy for those guys. I made my own decision.
And it was wrong.
they went on and did their thing, and I was part of it, and you know, happy about that and stuff. And
well, good for you.
Sometimes I count my lucky stars there, because you know, I don't know, some crazy things went on.
Yeah,
and
not everyone turned out okay.
I might not be talking to you right now
Absolutely.
Knows?
Well, that's a great attitude, Robbie, and a great story, man. Thanks for calling, and thanks for everybody for calling. And by the way, the guy who went to homecoming with Katy Perry, photos, or it didn't happen, all right?
That's right. We need 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman, the showbiz beat being done as it should be here on The Kevin and Bean Show
that's
for Wednesday.
That's right.
Welcome back, Ralph.
Good to be back, boys and girls. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Amanda Bynes. Getting better every day.
Sources, it's good to hear.
Sources tell TMZ.com that she is set to be released from rehab to her mother's care next month and should be home by Christmas. Hope she enjoys that Drake box set I got her. Didn't try to murder her vagina with it. Word is she's doing well with medication and therapy. Doctors are concerned now that she's going a little stir-crazy from having been in the hospital for so long, so they think getting her out and home and with her family would be a step in the right direction for her progress. So,
do they, you probably don't know this, Ralph, but I'm wondering, if they let her use the internet while she's in for that much time?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Because she certainly has not tweeted.
Yeah, somehow I doubt it.
Probably not.
We would have heard from her.
Probably not the best thing for her to read.
Yeah.
People tweeting things about her that may be hurtful.
Remember the good old days when we didn't know it was serious?
Yeah, those were good times.
That was fun.
A lot of fun.
Setting fires to dogs and running around just in a shirt with a blue wig on and things.
Then we realized she had a real problem and was less fun.
Yeah, sucks all the fun right out of it. A U.S. Navy commander has been accused of selling military secrets in exchange for Lady Gaga concert tickets.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that's right. You heard
come
me.
Come on.
Navy Commander Michael Vanek Kemwiskiewicz.
Guilty.
Allegedly gave secret fleet information to a Malaysian businessman in exchange for bribes. Those bribes included prostitutes and Lady Gaga tickets.
Both ends of that spectrum.
The businessman, a guy named Leonard Francis, also known in the business as Fat Leonard.
Sounds like beer mugs. Bookie.
is accused of conspiring with this Navy commander to direct Navy ships into foreign ports where the guy could overcharge the Navy for food and fuel and other services. So it was a racket. He was making money by gouging the Navy for necessities when they checked into these ports, and this guy was the one who would direct the ships into his ports. They face up to 5 years in prison if convicted, both of them on these counts. But if they're convicted, they should sentence them to 5 years of Lady Gaga concerts. Worse than prison. The History Channel's announced they're remaking the classic miniseries Roots.
Finally.
Based on a book by Alex Haley, who told the story of his family from their native land in Africa all the way through the Civil War and slavery.
Why?
It was a legendary TV event when it aired in 1977, earned 37 Emmy nominations, won 9 of them. The finale still holds the record as the third highest rated TV show ever. 36 million people watched the finale of Roots.
Wow.
History Channel will be doing now another 8-part miniseries based on that book. No word on when it'll air or whether the North will still win in the Civil War. Or not. They may change it.
They'll change that.
You know, if you want a surprise
people, license.
You've seen the original. You got to mix it up. You got to give a twist to it. Maybe the white people will be slaves this time. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Absolutely.
CW has announced another superhero show in the works for their network. The network that always provides we geeks with a certain amount of interesting stuff. They gave us Smallville, of course. Bird of Prey was a short-lived but well-received comic book series amongst comic book fans. They're adding The Flash to the mix. Arrow, of course, is currently going on. Next up, Our Man.
He's a superhero for only 60 minutes.
That was the original
That's
Our Man.
Stupid.
Our Man would take a pill, and for an hour, he'd have superpowers. It was sort of a precursor to Viagra. The character first appeared in 1940. Rex Tyler would pop Miraclo and become a superhero for an hour. This Our Man, however, will just see an hour into the future and can thus stop crimes before they happen, if he's lucky. I would do nothing but gamble if I could see an hour into the future.
Sure.
At halftime, I'd be laying down all kinds of bets in Vegas on football games.
Lottery.
How much would life be better for Beer Mug? He's about to get his legs cut off.
Yeah. That's true, the lottery. If you could just wait until about half an hour before they, release the numbers.
Right.
Boom.
Boom, buy your tickets.
You'd win every time.
Every time.
The hour's coming.
Not as sure a get-rich-quick scheme as Bean's Twitter idea.
That's true.
But
he is
going to
clean up.
It would be a good way to make a buck.
You don't know, man.
I think we do.
I think we
you
do.
You don't know, man. Look, Ralph, you mock.
I do, yes. That's
but
what I do.
If you'd put $1,000 in Amazon.com, which is as much of an unknown as anything back
right,
in
1997. Right, but you could say this in retrospect 1,000 right, times. You'll sure. be wrong 999.
Right, but I'm saying the people who said, hey, Amazon, that sounds like a good idea. They put $1,000 down. Now right. It's worth $250,000. That's
true.
Quite a return on your investment. And you're right. Most stocks don't perform that way. Some do.
Right.
2 weeks from now,
I couldn't have been more wrong in every single way.
How great would it be if Bean was flat broke?
How great would it be if I was a billionaire as a result of investing in Twitter?
And come back and start doing gigs, like hosting nightclub nights.
Exactly.
doing proms like Richard Blade, living in the back of his Mini Cooper, just his wife leaves him, all the animals die because he can't feed them.
Just put him shower. Awesome. We put him in another studio.
Low, scraggly, weird beard he'd grow out of that not hair-growing face of his.
Just already curved spine, much worse.
Wearing, you know, tissue boxes for shoes. Real long fingernails and stuff.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be the best thing ever.
It would be the best thing ever.
Why did this turn like this?
There's no access to the internet. So we'd walk by every morning and go, hey, do you hear what happened? You'd just start screaming that every time. You wouldn't be the first to know anything. Couldn't buy any CDs.
I couldn't afford the internet. The only news I would get was from discarded newspapers on the street.
Oh, you'd get like 3 days behind on everything.
That is going to be good times.
It'd be the best thing ever.
I don't like the direction this conversation is going.
Today's celebrity birthday is Emma Stone's 25 years old today. Actress Taryn Manning.
By the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ralph, but we did have a call that we didn't have time to get to who went to school with Emma Stone.
What? And
said she was every bit as great then as
I bet she was,
she was now.
Cool.
Yep.
Taryn Manning, 35 years old today. Rebecca Romijn and Thandie Newton both celebrate their 41st birthdays. Ethan Hawke, 43. Kelly Rutherford turns 45 years old today. Glenn Frey, legendary L.A. band The Eagles, 65 years old today. Actress Sally Field, Oscar-winning actress. Most recently seen, I guess, in Lincoln. She was great in that film. 67 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So my guess is there are a lot of employers looking around today going, hey, where is everybody? Why is everybody not showing up?
How did everybody get sick on the same day? That doesn't make sense.
Well, it might be that Call of Duty Ghosts hit stores yesterday, available for PS3, Xbox 360, Wii U, Microsoft Windows. Later this month, of course, coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. This is the highly anticipated 10th main installment of the Call of Duty franchise. We haven't had a chance to play it yet, but we wanted to find out a man who did, and we got Scott Lowe on the line. He is the executive editor at IGN.com. Hey, Scott, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
The beautiful thing about being in your line of work is there are a lot of Christmases that come throughout the year, and I guess yesterday was just another one.
Yes, pretty much every day of the business week is another Christmas day for us.
Nice. Tell us about the latest Call of Duty.
So I mean, it's a whole new sub-franchise for the Call of Duty series. So they're starting fresh, brand new universe, brand new cast of characters, and, you know, much of the same kind of experience you'd come to expect, but it is kind of a new effort from the Reform studio that actually kind of created the franchise, actually. So it's kind of a big event for the series.
Tell me about how this game is made, because it seems like they come out with one of these a year, and it can't possibly take... I mean, it seems like they take 2 to 3 years to make. So are you changing studios and having other people do it?
Yeah, so they actually trade off. I mean, they have three studios, primary studios that develop the games. They have Sledgehammer Games in San Francisco or in the San Francisco Bay Area, Treyarch in Santa Monica, and Infinity Ward, I think, they're in Woodland Hills. So very SoCal-centric. But then they also have other supporting studios like Raven Software, Beachhead Studios and Neversoft to support the games as well.
And in general, do you know how much it costs to make one of these? Is it $200-300 million?
They haven't disclosed that exact amount, but I mean, you could expect that it's pretty high up there. I mean, if not for the actual production, but the marketing, as you've seen, you've probably seen with
Megan Fox,
celebrity
Megan Fox,
Megan Fox. Exactly. Megan Fox. You guys see Megan Fox? And by the way, I mean everything. And we want to talk about the specific more mechanics of the game in a minute here, Scott. But everything about this is such a pedigree now. I mean, I know. Look, it's not news anymore that video games are as big or bigger than most movies anymore. We all saw the headlines with Grand Theft Auto a few weeks ago with $1 billion in a day. So we know the money involved, and that's why you're able to attract the kind of talent. I mean, even the commercials for Call of Duty, this new one with Megan Fox has got Frank Sinatra, who's not cheap to license. The first one that they came out with last month had Eminem doing the soundtrack. And talk about the pedigree a little bit about the people who are writing and directing this thing.
So Stephen Gagan, who actually wrote Traffic, if you recall
which is a great movie.
Yeah, which is huge. He worked on the game, among other people, and, you know, he really helped, move the story along. You've got, usually a pretty, big list of cast in terms of, like, the kind of talent they attract. Michael Rooker was in, Treyarch's last game in Black Ops 2.
Right.
It's definitely, and I think, where it translates into this like marketing push is like a lot of these people
you know, play these games, and they're very much energized by them. So you'll see oftentimes on these, like, studio Twitter accounts that they'll have, like, you know, big sports stars coming by to play the game early, and these are just, you know, people who just love the game. So it's a combination of probably tremendous amounts of money and general, you know, kind of genuine interest by the talent. So
now this go ahead, B.
I was just going to ask Scott Lowe on the line from IGN.com, how different is this game from other Call of Duties you've played in the past? I mean, is it a significant upgrade?
Yeah, so I mean, that's kind of a contentious issue for a lot of people. It depends on your perspective. Like, Call of Duty is very formulaic. You know, it's a game that isn't trying to reinvent itself every year, but it does try to kind of hone what makes it fun and iterate upon it in a way that, you know, is kind of interesting to fans. So this one does some interesting things. It kind of changes the way you move through the environment in terms of, like, being able to, like, slide around on your knees and lean out from corners. You know, the environments are different because it's kind of set in this not-so-distant future where, you know, the U.S. has been ravaged by a Federation of South American Nations. Like, so they're doing some interesting things. And, you know, obviously with the move to next-gen consoles, it's a significant visual upgrade when you're using it on one of those systems.
How do you like Call of Duty compared to Battlefield?
I get that question a lot, but I actually consider them very much different. It's you know, if I'm feeling kind of competitive and I want to, like, you know, just run around and shoot people, like, Call of Duty is great for that. If I want to make an entire building explode with a tank, then Battlefield's great for that. Like, it's very much different strokes, but they often do get compared, and you know, obviously there is kind of a marketing war there. But, yeah, I definitely think they're totally different experiences, but I love them both equally.
In Ghosts, they end up in space, right?
Yeah, it's basically like Gravity, the video game, with guns.
I like it. Guns would have really helped.
Sandra Bullock was a Marine. And, yeah. No, it's those levels are a blast to play. You know, I won't spoil them too much, but, like, you feel like you're in zero gravity, you're jetpacking around a space station, and you're shooting enemies as they float through space. It's a lot of fun to play.
Now, in your office at IGN, Scott, you always want to play the girl, right? That's what I've been told by your coworkers, is you always want to be the female soldier.
Yes, that's always my preference. They're nimble.
Exactly. I feel like you should be interviewing Megan Fox for IGN.com. It does seem like that you must have a lot of questions for her about making that commercial, right?
Yeah, like how big was the green screen?
Right.
These are important questions.
Questions.
Yeah, so I mean, the female element is interesting for multiplayer. Like, this is the first time they've allowed, allowed you to create your soldier in a way where you can customize the look and feel of it, and most notably, you get to play as female characters, which is, no doubt going to be, make the series more accessible for a wider audience. But yeah, it's. I don't know if it's like a huge leap because you don't really get a lot of female characters in the single-player campaign, but overall it's a fun addition.
All right, last question for you, Scott, and that is because of the time of year we're in, what should people know about availability for the various platforms, you know, in the next couple of weeks and leading up to when people are going to want to be buying them for Christmas gifts?
Yeah, so, all the current-gen versions, so if your family member or loved one has, like, a PS3 or an Xbox 360 or plays on PC or Wii U, like, it's available now, you can go get it. But next week, it's actually kind of a big event, but the PlayStation 4 ships to consumers in the U.S., so that's an opportunity to get in on that, and in some cases, you may actually be able to buy the game for PlayStation 4 already and just wait for your PS4 to show up. And then Xbox One launches on the 22nd, so just a week after that. So it's pretty much, if you can find a copy now,
I was going to ask, do you have to get a specific Xbox One version of the game or PlayStation 4?
Yes, it's definitely platform specific. A lot of your data is shared, so if you play on the Xbox 360 and you decide you want to upgrade the Xbox One, like, all of your stats and your progression and unlocks will be transferred over.
I don't want that. I want to start again because it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Scott. Well, listen, we're going to let you get back to the game. We appreciate you putting it on pause to talk to us here on the Kevin Abiche Show. You can follow Scott as the executive editor of IGN.com. Great to have you on again, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You bet. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin Abiche Show at 9:42.
I feel like there's less Ralph Garman than I expected right now.
Hey, sir. He's here. No worries.
Oh, hey, Ralph.
What do you want?
Hey, finishing up some old business, by the way, since you were gone for a couple days.
Yeah.
Anything you want to talk to me about any TV shows that might have been canceled while you were out?
Shows that were canceled after Halloween, you mean?
Can we put a bow on the conversation about TV's Back in the Game, Ralph Garman's favorite show on ABC?
Show that was canceled after Halloween, you mean?
Yes.
What did you say?
I said it's terrible and it will be canceled by Halloween. That's how bad it is.
Right. And you were right or wrong?
I was dead wrong because it survived all the way till the morning of Friday, November 1st.
That's right.
I couldn't have been more wrong.
I didn't know it got canceled.
Yeah, it's a shame.
So I don't get even partial credit?
No, you get nothing, sir. Good day, sir.
I get nothing and I'll like it?
Nothing, sir. Good day, sir. You stole fizzy lifting drinks.
you sincerely liked that show.
I very much enjoyed
actress Maggie Lawson when we had her on. I told you at the time, I certainly did not wish her or Mr. Khan or any of those people involved in the show.
No, you had nothing but goodwill for her.
That's why you're gloating.
I like them all very much.
That's why you're gloating.
Yes, that's why.
I hope they go on and get a better show.
I have no desire to pour salt into any of their wounds, I'm sure.
Not even a little bit.
Sad that their show has been canceled. I just hope you run into James Caan someday, someplace. Who knows about this?
That'd be awesome.
And he just headbutts you. Just takes you down.
He's a asshole.
Douche.
Just saying.
Gonna go and ruin everything all the time.
He's a ruiner.
He's a ruiner.
Mm-hmm.
He is just a ruiner. He's Dr. Ruin. Yep. Now we'll just call him that. Hey, down there in Orange County, you often ask me and my buddy Kevin Smith, hey, when are you going to bring that Hollywood Babylon show down here? You take it all over the place. You take it to Philadelphia, and you take it to Vegas, you take it to Arizona, you take it to Canada. Where are you going to take it to Orange County? Well, we're coming to you this weekend, Saturday night, at the Brea Improv Hollywood Babylon, Saturday night at 9 p.m. If you'd like to come and see us, well, that guy's not coming, but if you'd like to come and see us, it's pretty easy. You go to improv.com or babylonroth.com, and you can get all the details and your tickets down there. But
why?
We'd love to see it. Well, because we're going to be talking about fun stuff.
All right.
We're talking about Justin Bieber and hookers and Courtney Stodden and her old man husband are splitting up. There's a lot this week to talk about.
Yep.
Who could have seen that relationship wouldn't have lasted?
Right?
Between the 50-year-old and the 16-year-old, that they wouldn't found common ground.
That was a match made in heaven.
I thought their love was going to live forever.
Hmm.
Looks like her implants. All right, let's talk about show business news. Jon Favreau has been tapped by Disney to direct their upcoming live-action version of The Jungle Book. They've done this before. There's been a few live-action adaptations of the Rudyard Kipling novel. The most famous one was a cartoon version done back in the 60s, however, with all that great music, including Bare Necessities and I Want to Be Like You. Love that animated special. Never see that. Did you, Bean? Never saw that film?
It's animated.
I'm certainly familiar with the soundtrack. I know those songs. I don't remember specifically. I read the book, but I don't remember seeing the TV special.
Story, movie, of course, is Mowgli. A boy who was raised by animals in the Indian jungle. And unlike Tarzan, who goes on to bang that hottie Jane and swing from vines, he makes friends with a bear. So, not quite as adventurous as Tarzan.
You remember this song, though, right, Pete?
Remix? Yeah, that's when Mowgli discovers a big plate of Chinese food in the jungle.
He's very happy.
Guarded by Ka, the snake, I believe, in that scene.
Do you have the clip of that part of the movie where they were teaching the snake how to learn the alphabet, Kevin? Do you have any of that? Because that was also a very exciting scene in The Jungle Book back from 1967.
Keep going, Bean.
I said, when they were trying to teach that snake the letters of the alphabet, way that you spell.
They were trying to teach the snake that?
Yes, that's right.
Scene?
You have a copy of that
Wait,
song?
Who was? Mowgli was trying to teach him? Or Baloo the Bear? What character was teaching?
I think it was Mowgli that was trying to teach him.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X.
Come on.
I know we ordinarily don't book guests just to pick on them.
Right.
But I'd like to have Patrice Wilson on the show.
He's the guy that writes,
He's
right?
the guy who is responsible
that's
for
fine.
That
that's
and
fine.
For... Thanksgiving and for Friday and for HAPPY.
I wouldn't want to yell at the girl because she's like 13 or 14.
Yeah, and
or
she doesn't know any better. He's the man responsible behind this collection of
songs. He needs
songs.
To be slapped.
I want to know. I just want to ask, what's up? I just want to ask that. That one question.
Is it possible, Ralph, that he'll just say, look, I'm making a living doing this. People don't have to look at the videos if they don't want to, but it's legitimate, legal work. It's art. If you're not
art.
Into it, who cares?
Easy. Quit.
With the art. That's what I want to know. Does he think these are good songs, or is he saying, I can write any piece of crap and make people watch the videos to it? Is he in on the joke, or
next
is
he'll
he
be the number song?
Or is this as good as he gets? Is this him at the peak of his songwriting skills?
Does he see this as art is the most important question for me?
Yes. Well, yes. That.
Or is he playing a practical joke on the world?
Or
why?
Or why?
I'm in.
Why, indeed. Why?
Dave's probably not listening, but...
No, but we'll talk to him after the show.
Ask him later, okay.
Patrice, got it!
Wow. Dave on top of his game.
Yeah. Sounded angry, too.
John Mayer...
What's up?
...is serious about Katy Perry, if you listen to his friends.
Of course, we're all serious about Katy Perry.
Haven't we heard this before? Russell Brand was serious about Katy Perry for a while. But according to Star Magazine, sources nearby John say he's trying to slowly mold her into an image that he finds more appealing.
What?
Yeah. He wants to make sure she's the kind of girl who wears Chanel, not cupcake bras and blue hair, say friends.
He may have the wrong girl.
Cut down on the wacky, playful Katy Perry side. Get a more classy, well-groomed, well
Is that how you get a woman? By telling her all the things that are wrong with her and that you want to fix them?
If she has questionable
low self-esteem,
then yes, that is the way to go with some ladies.
Well, you gave us a story last week, Ralph, about how Katy Perry was coming up telling other pop stars to quit taking off their clothes. Uh-huh. I wonder if that's what she's learning in the school of John Mayer.
Maybe she's going to get reserved again. Go back to her religious roots. Before she was a party girl.
Stupid John Mayer.
Stupid John Mayer ruining it for everyone. And Miley Cyrus, speaking of relationships, reportedly really regrets losing Liam Hemsworth. London Sun newspaper says that she wrote her former fiancé a letter admitting that she pushed him away and then apologized for everything that she did. Word is she still wants to meet up with Liam for some closure. Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Or perhaps a new beginning. Hopes to talk out some unresolved issues. Liam has not yet responded because he is... I can't say what I wanted to say. He's
elbow
preoccupied with another young lady. I'm sure. And impending parenthood has not yet done anything to calm Simon Cowell's enormous ego. The X Factor... American Idol judge has revealed to Extra that he wants his little boy to be named. Any guesses?
God.
Simon.
Gotta be Simon.
Simon, sorry.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing to Simon Cowell. He's looking forward to little Simon entering the world.
I thought little Simon already entered the world. That was how he got into this predicament.
Little Simon is too active.
Simon will be judging other kids in preschool, I'm sure, in nursery school.
I was... underimpressed.
That crayon drawing is crap. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Stone, 25 years old today. Actress Taryn Manning turns 35. Rebecca Romijn turns 41, as does Thandi Newton. Ethan Hawke is 43 years old today. Actress Kelly Rutherford celebrates her 45th birthday. Singer Glenn Frey of the legendary band The Eagles going to rechristen... The Forum.
Oh, they're starting
the new year. That's the first act that'll be booked into the newly revamped L.A. Forum. It'll be Glenn Frey and his bandmates, the Eagles, if they can stop punching each other long enough to perform. So they'll be there. He's 65 years old.
They probably have played dozens of times at the Forum over the years, the old Forum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
So it makes sense.
By all accounts, this new joint is going to be quite the thing, too. Quite a place to go see music.
It's beautiful.
And actress Sally Field, Oscar-winning actress, turned 67 years old.
I haven't had an orthodox career.
No.
And I've wanted more than anything to have your respect.
That's true.
The first time I didn't feel it.
No?
But this time I feel it.
You do?
And I can't deny the fact that you like me right now.
Yeah.
You like me.
You have horrible self-esteem, Sally Field. That was her Oscar acceptance speech.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was an embarrassment.
It's a little sad. It's a little sad for Sally Field. But happy birthday. She's 67. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tomorrow we're going to tell you about the Toronto mayor that smokes crack, or isn't positive he smokes crack because he was too drunk to realize.
Finally, a politician that Kevin can support.
This crack, guy is a
cigar.
Party.
Who knows?
I'm moving there
I
to
smoke
vote.
Whatever they put in my mouth, he says.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. We've got Dr. Drew on the program. We have Jesse James in studio talking about the NHRA finals. We have Hunger Games tickets tomorrow morning. And also Vince Vaughn, the star of Delivery Man. All awesome. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.